much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Men, I'm not gonna waste any more of your time than I have to. I wanna wish you good luck on today's mission. To those of you who won't be coming back, I'd like to say we're gonna do our best to take care of your wives and or sweethearts. Everyone ready to go?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Ah!
Sergeant, from now on, I don't want anyone to come in and see me while I'm in my office. Is that clear?
Yes, sir. What do I say to people when I come in and see you while you're in your office?
Tell them I'm in and ask them to wait.
For how long?
Until I've left.
And then what do I do with them?
I don't care.
May I send people in to see you after you've left?
Yes.
You won't be here then, will you?
No.
Yes, sir.
And now, follow Ms. Shields on Twitter at Brooke Shields. Hey, thanks for the time. We enjoyed it.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. I listen when I'm in L.A. I listen to you guys.
Our feature presentation.
Wow.
So sad.
How are you going to start like that? Come on. The one who broke Brooke Shields' heart, man. Look at me.
I know, but come on now. Statute of limitations, right?
Nope.
It has been.
I think it's 5 days.
I don't think that's true.
I was pretty
Where
sure.
Did you see that
it's
or
been
hear
that,
that
way the whole time, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Uh-huh.
Well, that was news to me.
Yeah, we don't play old stuff ever.
No.
So, morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Monday. It is the 1st of double December.
So, how much did you eat, Muggs, over the 4 days, do you think? 100,000 calories?
All calories.
All? Yeah, all calories?
Yes.
And that's different.
How?
How dare you?
There are some people who go, and we talked about this a little bit with Mike Catherwood last week when we were doing the Psycho Body. There are some people who Thanksgiving rolls around and they go, F it. It's a holiday. It's once a year. I'm just going to go for it. I'm not going to care because I want to enjoy myself. And I respect that attitude. I do. Then there are other people who go, well, it's still my body that I'm going to wake up in tomorrow, so maybe I shouldn't eat everything in the world always.
Right.
It strikes me that Muggs may be in column A.
Well, yeah. Well, the reason is it's not going to change the way he looks any. It's not like if he binges.
That's a good point.
No, everything's ruined. He still looks the same before and after.
Right.
But we all
he
do.
Binges every day.
Right, that's true.
My
yeah.
stomach size is already primed and prepped for the large amounts of food that I take
mm-hmm.
every day. So
right.
Thanksgiving is no different.
Mm-hmm. So it would be disrespectful to your stomach to
exactly.
not eat a full meal on Thanksgiving.
You have to respect your stomach.
Exactly. Well, I hope everybody had a nice holiday weekend.
Yeah,
it's nice to have a few days off there.
Yes, it was.
Let me get started with this story. And I don't think we've ever done this as a phone topic. I know that my wife has somebody, I don't remember who, she has somebody in her family. Extended family that this happened to. Somebody goes out for a jug of milk and never comes back.
Yes.
Stories like that. Everybody, a lot of people have those in their family, going back a ways. And I don't think we've ever talked about somebody who's been in that situation before. Either the person who left and never came back, or came back years later, or the person who was left at home just waiting for that person to come back. But there's a story like that in the news. This woman lived in Britain. She had 6 children at home.
Wow.
The youngest of which was 3, the oldest 16, a single mom. She told her 16-year-old son that she was heading up to the supermarket to get some groceries and instead drove to Heathrow Airport and got on a flight to Australia.
All right.
Wow.
She had met a man online that he had arranged for her to visit him, and it was a 6-week Australian vacation that she went on. And she didn't tell her kids, didn't plan for it, didn't prepare for it.
Did you say she had 6 kids?
6 kids at home, yes.
Oh, my gosh.
And she drives to the airport, and she gets on a plane, and she flies to Australia. The 16-year-old waits for her for about 4 hours and then starts to get the picture and calls his grandparents, and they contacted police, and the grandparents helped out while she was gone, having no idea where she was or how long she was going to be gone. Apparently, and this article is woefully short on details, apparently she was eventually reached down under by the police and her parents, and she said, I'm not coming back until after my vacation. I'm going to be down here for the whole 6 weeks. I understand that you were calling me to tell me that I abandoned my children, one of whom is 3, I'll remind you, but I'm not coming back because I'm down here in Australia on vacation.
So she wasn't leaving for good. She just needed a vacation and did not tell a soul.
Exactly.
That's bizarre.
Yes, her new boyfriend that she met online had arranged for her to come down. By the way, that's a whole nother topic. if you're meeting a chick online, I get paying for her to come visit you. You don't set it up for 6 weeks.
I know.
Set it up for like a day just in case. Right?
Look, I'll meet you at the airport lounge and then we'll see how it goes from there. 6 weeks. That's a disaster waiting to happen after, you know, 3 days if it's not working out, right?
That's unbelievable for her kids. By the way, this must not be the first time. The kids must have gone, all right, here we go again.
Mom's gone.
Yep.
It doesn't say that, but when she did return, she was greeted by police. She was arrested, charged with willful abandonment, and was sentenced to a 6-month suspended jail term, by the way. So she's not doing any time for this.
Wow.
Someone would have to take care of the kids.
Yeah, exactly. During her sentencing, her attorney argued that she was a good mother.
Wow, is that a tough argument?
Not sure how you prove that. By the way, another reason that I'm very disappointed in this article from the New York Daily News is that they do mention that she is currently pregnant with her 7th child.
Yeah!
What?
But does not give us any more details about how that's going to work out.
So,
did she get knocked up in Australia, and then now she's going to come back, and that dude's no longer going to be involved in their lives? Or because there's no way she talks him into taking care of her and the 7 children, right?
No. By the way, me and 6 kids are coming down? No.
Yeah, exactly. So this is a disaster,
she's
you guys.
She's the worst.
She's a nightmare. She had to be a nightmare before as
oh,
well.
Oh, yeah.
I would think so.
That's
yeah, you don't go this loco like on a dime, that's for sure.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin DeBeecho, shall we?
We object publicly and loudly
all right.
as we can.
Okay. We have a couple of more contestants for Miss Double December coming into the studio. Need to meet them, you know, give people a little idea who they're voting for.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And, hey, I'll tell you, the contestants that we had in on Wednesday did a lot for their vote counts. People hear them on the radio and they go, oh, I like that girl. And they go to krock.com and they cast their vote, and that helps a lot.
You've already done your Christmas shopping. You're finished.
Ugh.
A, we hate you.
Yes.
B, we need to talk to you. We also have Harvey Levin from TMZ, as we do on Mondays. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk NFL with Andrew Siciliano. And we've got tickets for the 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas, night one.
Hey, is the Super Bowl still going through Arizona?
The state? Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it is.
Just curious.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53.
6 o'clock hour this morning. Coming up between now and 7, you'll win your tickets to the sold-out 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. So stand by for that. He is tanned. He is rested. He is ready. Ladies and gentlemen, the return of Ralph Garman and the Showbiz Beat here on K-Rock. Hey, Ralph.
I am one of those three things.
I gotta be honest. He's not tanned.
I'll let you be the judge.
He is not tan.
Which one I am?
You have that kind of skin that is impossible to tan. Is that right, Ralph?
I don't attempt it anymore.
Yeah.
First of all, skin cancer runs in my family. I've already had one removed.
Ah, so you have to be careful.
And
all right.
I just slather on the SPF 4000 and don't even worry about that particular. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Kevin says he goes from white to red. Right through brown.
Those are the only two colors. And then when it's red, it does not fade into brown either.
Back in the old days, I used to burn pretty easily, but I could manage if I actually took the time and I would start off doing 10 minutes and then 15, and over the summer I could get some kind of tan, but it was just a big pain in the ass.
Right.
And people go out there and they don't worry about it, and they just get brown, and they're lovely, and it's wonderful.
And the payoff is not that big.
Yeah, it really isn't. I don't really care one way or the other what color my skin is.
Hey,
quite
I'm
frankly.
A little bit tan after all that work.
Woo-hoo! What did I win? Nothing. I mean, I put all this... Not a coffee mug, nothing. Yeah, so I went out, but I was well slathered, but that's Hawaiian sun. Even when you got stuff on you,
yeah,
it is.
It's intense.
It's intense. It's strong. But it was a lovely, lovely vacation. Good to be back. And as always on a Monday morning, good to take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office to see what people went to see. Well, no surprise, The Hunger Games: Mockingjay Part 1 was the big winner. For just the weekend, $56.9 million. The five-day Thanksgiving Day weekend total, $82.7 million.
And what was last week?
Last was 120 or something.
Yeah, something up there.
Unbelievable.
So,
I think it's a hit, you
massive,
guys.
Massive numbers.
They should make another one.
I think
know?
So.
The Penguins of Madagascar did very well for themselves this weekend. $25.8 million. Over the past weekend, then Big Hero 6, Interstellar, Horrible Bosses 2, Dumb and Dumber,
was sixth on the list with $8.3 million over the weekend. That's just nuts, by the way. That's still making that kind of money. The Theory of Everything, Gone Girl, Birdman, and St. Vincent were your top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. I heard you guys saying this morning about people's attitudes regarding Thanksgiving Day meals.
Yes.
Whether they just say, F it, and just eat whatever they want, or whether they still watch their weight. Well, what do you do if you're a Victoria's Secret supermodel?
You don't eat, I think.
You don't, because Victoria's Secret puts guards on you.
What?
I'm not kidding you.
They put guards on you.
Yes.
And their televised show is like a week after Thanksgiving,
that's
right?
The thing. It airs on December the 9th. And so you can't have your girls not fitting into those size negative eights or whatever they wear. I'm not sure. I'm not big on fashion. I'm not sure how it works. But they're not big girls. So what if they eat an olive or a piece of stuffing or something? Forget about it.
Oh, so these guys aren't for security. They're eating police.
The London Sun reports that Victoria's Secret put their beautiful models up in a hotel where the room service serves only meals that feature 500 calories or less.
Wow.
Everyone had a strict curfew, and guards were placed in the halls to make sure that they weren't sneaking out.
Oh, my God.
And partying, first of all, but also getting burgers and whatnot. The entire production treated like a military operation, they say.
Wow.
The bash takes place tomorrow, the filming, and then will air on December the 9th on CBS. So you can check it out then to see if they cheated or not. But you got to keep those girls in shape. They're like racehorses, man.
Yep.
A couple ounces, just throws the whole thing off. And this Bill Cosby mess.
Has it gotten worse?
Yeah. Yeah, it has.
How?
Well, here's the thing. There had always had been a rumor that one of these women that Bill Cosby had a dalliance with, he impregnated and sent her away, and she had the daughter.
Okay.
Under the name of someone else. Now she has come forward and told the London Daily Mail that not only is he the father of her daughter, but she was raped, and that's how the daughter was conceived.
Oh,
jeez. Oh, wow.
Sean Brown is her name. She told the London newspaper that she was drugged and raped 22 years ago, got pregnant. Bill convinced her to put her former boyfriend, her former boyfriend's name on the birth certificate. Jackson was his last name, so the girl's name was Autumn Jackson. He paid for her college tuition, kept a picture of her on the set of his Cosby TV show so Autumn could see herself on television.
What?
Yeah. Apparently, Autumn contacted Cosby when she was 22 years old, asking for a $40 million payday to keep her mouth shut about him being her father, and that's when all the money stopped. But Sean Brown says that the child was actually a result of her being drugged and raped by Cosby.
I asked Harvey last week, Ralph, when you were out, forget celebrities. Is Bill Cosby the most prolific serial rapist in history?
If it's all true.
Well,
if it's all true,
how would you know?
How would you know? In terms of that we've heard about, though, in terms of people who have been revealed, I don't remember ever hearing of a serial rapist who is arrested or charged or even alleged to have raped 30 women or however many this is going to end up being. It's just, it's crazy.
Again, you know, it's weird. Serial rapists don't get nearly the claim, if you will, the infamy of serial murderers, you know, so you don't know. But I know I've heard of cases of serial rapists having
dozens of victims.
Much more than that.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
Yeah.
Okay.
50, 60, sometimes closer to 100 victims by the time.
I'm not in Serial Rapists Anonymous anymore, so I don't really have to speed
them. Because you're not anonymous about it anymore. That's why I threw you out, because you kept revealing your name and others.
Wouldn't I be the least likely person to rape you guys?
No! Are you kidding me? If I'm a profiler, I've got people
right
on you outside your house watching you in a surveillance.
You're public enemy number one.
See, I don't even have that much game. That's how I look at it.
That's why you need the ether and the duct tape.
Not to make light, but you don't need game,
creepy dude.
Right
for that.
Just need intent and opportunity.
I'm just saying this Bill Cosby is a bad dude.
Cosby, by the way.
Allegedly.
Not faring well in the wake of all this.
Yeah.
Wall Street Journal has revealed their annual most trustworthy celebrity poll.
Did he slip?
He slipped.
What? He's no longer number one?
He was number three last year.
Uh-huh.
Number three last year. This year he shows up on the list. At 2,615th place.
Wait, there's somebody below him?
I guess there must be somebody 616th place.
That's crazy.
OJ, I guess.
Wow.
Here's your top 10 most trusted celebrities this year until they start murdering and raping.
Can we guess them?
Especially that Maggie Smith. She looks like a murderer rapist to me.
I'm going to say Mr. Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks is number one on the list, being done.
I mean, who do you think of that's just squeaky clean but Tom Hanks?
Yeah.
Mickey Rourke.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, this is my bad. The Wall Street Journal list, I do not have that presently. I do have the most recent Forbes magazine most trusted celebrities list for this year. And by the way, this was pre-Cosby phenomenon.
Right.
So he was sixth on the list. I'll give you that one right now, just to let you know.
Okay.
This was released this year before all this news broke, so he was sixth on the list. You don't have to worry about it. But Tom Hanks is number one on the Forbes magazine most trusted celebrities list for this year.
Yes. Who else?
Oprah.
I'm going to go with Oprah. Great guess.
Oprah?
Nicely done.
Noprah.
Wow.
Not in the top 10, according to Forbes magazine.
Ellen.
Cosby's got that slot all locked up.
No room there.
Yep.
Lisa says Ellen DeGeneres.
Ellen DeGeneres not on the list, Lisa. I'm sorry.
Clooney.
Clooney not on the list.
Really?
Are these people all alive? I know that sounds like a dumb question, but like Mr. Rogers doesn't count, right?
All alive.
Okay.
And they may not be the most popular or the most rich or the most famous, but they, according to Forbes magazine, are the most trusted celebrities by Americans.
Trusted. Wilford Brimley.
Wilford Brimley.
Good guess.
Yeah, because people.
It's a good guess.
Still love that oatmeal.
That's right.
It's a good guess.
He buys catheters or whatever he's selling.
He was on the list 30 years ago.
He's not on the list, no. And what did you say, Lisa?
Neil Tyson. Is it
Neil deGrasse Tyson?
All right,
yeah,
come on,
Tyson.
Lisa. Play the game.
With the thing.
Quit effing around. Play or don't play. Don't start. Don't
Wilford
muddy up
Brimley?
The waters with that kind
is
of crap.
Guess?
Yes, because it was comedy.
Maybe
don't make an actual
too.
Pitch for the Cosmos guy.
In Lisa's defense, he did the thing about the thing. That is hard to argue.
And guys, when people look for the astronomer news, he is the most trusted name in astrophysics.
Well, it can't be somebody political, right?
It's actors, these people are all very, very milquetoasty sort of. Well, not all of them, actually.
Not all
of them. I look at them.
Jeez, why can't we come up with one other person as number one?
But we'll be here till 8 o'clock if I let.
Right. Well, maybe you just tell us.
So I will just start reading. Number two is Carol Burnett, TV legend Carol Burnett.
I would not have thought of that.
Number three, Morgan Freeman, apparently is trusted by Americans. And why wouldn't you be with that voice?
Yeah,
sure. He knows all about the
this
penguins.
This person can place an order for something inside a wave using Visa.
I believe him when he tells me that.
I do, too.
Michael J. Fox is trusted.
Okay.
His leg's a little bit shaky. Betty White, fifth on the list.
Betty White!
Betty White is a trusted celebrity.
Whatever.
Bill Cosby, as I mentioned, was number six. I'm guessing he no longer holds that slot.
I would guess they vacated that.
ABC newswoman Robin Roberts, seventh on the list.
Hmm.
Denzel Washington was eighth. Maggie Smith was ninth on the list from Downton Abbey.
A weird list.
And number 10, I can see this one because he's America's kid.
Adele Dazeem.
No, not Adele Dazeem. He
was from Los Angeles, California.
No, not Duane from Los Angeles, California. No, number 10, first he was Opie, then he was Richie.
Oh, sure.
Ron Howard. Ron Howard is trusted amongst Americans. He's a rapist murderer. You can tell.
That
for sure,
is not
though.
True.
I heard he raped Fonzie.
Nope. You didn't hear that. You've never heard that.
Henry Winkler told me he raped him once.
Nope. Nope.
In the back alley behind Arnold's.
You're making that up.
What?
You're making it up.
Yeah, I'm making it up. Today's celebrity birthdays. Director Woody Allen is 79 years old.
He's
today.
Not on the list.
Not trusted.
Not trusted. Bette Midler celebrates her 69th birthday today. Still having that throwdown with Ariana Grande, by the way. Yeah, those two. Steel cage match. Let's see. Let's make it happen.
Come on, go to Russia.
Sarah Silverman's 44 years old. And by the way, Mickey Rourke won, by the way. How about that?
What?
Mickey Rourke won his fight. Knockout.
Well, sort of.
Third round.
Did you watch any of the highlights?
Crushed that guy.
He didn't crush anyone.
He crushed Emily Mortimer, whoever it was he was fighting there.
He just sort of gently pushed him.
You don't know, man.
I know. I watched it.
Actress Emily Mortimer McKenzie from The Newsroom is 43 years old today. Just lost in a bout to Mickey Rourke, I heard. Sarah Silverman's 44 years old. Brad Delson, Linkin Park guitarist, is 37. Vance Joy, the singer, 27 years old. That's supposed to Vance Joy, the hockey player, Ralph. Janelle Monáe celebrates her 29th birthday. And actress Zoe Kravitz celebrates her 26th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Coming up in about 10 minutes or so, we'll talk to our friend Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. We'll be talking about a one-time K-Rock artist who made tens of millions of dollars a few years ago and is now broke and living in a Holiday Inn. It's an unbelievable story. You got to stick around and hear that. First, though, somebody mentioned that there was a conversation in the meeting the other day, Kevin, after I had left.
Yeah.
That involved you. Kevin Explains Bidets is how I understood the story went.
Well, remember last week we were talking about Miss Double December, how you can go to the website and vote. And Lux came in, which she was Miss Double December 2 years ago. And she travels extensively around the world doing modeling and stuff. And she was talking about being in Japan, I think, and how every single hotel and every single place has a bidet.
Right. Very common in much of the world.
And so she had to get one. So she got one that had a seat warmer. She said it's the best thing ever to have a seat warmer. And this is like an all-in-one thing. And so they're not separate. Like in some places I've seen, there's the toilet, and then there's the bidet next to it, which just looks like a toilet without a seat.
There's no seat. The back part.
And I didn't know how to work it. So, I don't know. I was on vacation. I think it was in Hawaii. And day after day after day, you look at it and you go, I don't even know how. How's that possible?
What would I put where if I were to use that?
Next day, you go, which way do you face? I'm not sure. So it got to me. Finally, I decided I needed to just try it out and see what it is.
Yeah.
And
now, let me stop you right there. Because, again, I wasn't part of this conversation. The reason I've never been tempted to use a bidet is my understanding is the bidet is doing something that I feel like I already have pretty well covered on the toilet.
Agreed.
So what prompted you to think, hey, I need to get some warm water up there?
It was just a person like me, you look at it and you go, I don't understand how. And you have to get that answer.
Okay.
And maybe people know something you don't.
Right. Maybe this is the best thing ever. Yeah. Who knows? So I decided to try it. So sat one way, wasn't sure. Sat another way, wasn't sure. Didn't know exactly what to do. So then I turned on the warm water.
Uh-huh.
And nothing happened. And I was like, well, that's weird. My understanding is the bidet is supposed to sort of spray warm water on your beehole.
Right. Right.
So that you're completely clean, right?
Yeah, okay. It's going through a car wash.
Right. So so nothing happened. And I was sort of weirded out by that. I was like, well, wait a minute. Am I doing something wrong? So I turned it up more, thinking it's just maybe it's a very, very soft stream, you would think it would be, right? It would just be like, it would have to be
a feather light.
Yeah,
you don't want it to be a fire hose, right?
Right, nothing. So so I turned it up some more. And that's when Old Faithful happened. There was a geyser that came out of that thing. And I got to tell you, there was bidet water coming out of my eyes, my ears, my nose. I was pinned against the roof. I mean, the ceiling. It was
It lifted you off the bidet on like you were on top of a geyser.
It was like that bidet had been waiting for like 17 years and nobody used it. And it was all backed up.
But how did it go from no water coming out to an ocean?
Well, I turned it on and didn't wait long enough, apparently.
Maybe need some warming up time.
So then I turned it on some more and nothing happened. I turned it up a third time. And that was the time where,
everything clicked.
Yeah. And it was one of the most painful things.
But you were squeaky clean.
And right? And then the first thing you check is, did anyone hear anything?
I know
no one saw anything, but they had to hear my screams of pain.
Was the focused water still? How do I say this? Still hit the intended spot at that rate of speed?
Well, I mean, it hit it, but it also drove through. So
it came out your mouth.
It pretty much destroyed the entire part inside of my body. And I just decided, you know what, that's not for me.
A bidet is not for me.
I am not down with that. I will live my life without a bidet, and I'll be perfectly – I know millions of people around the world use it. They're happy with it. Not me.
Don't know. How much would you pay for a video of that?
Oh my God.
I would pay all money because to see my face and the pain and what am, and I'm doing this on purpose. You know what I mean? Like I did it on purpose. Why would anyone do this on purpose? And why wouldn't I just, like you guys say, I'm in a rush. Why wouldn't I just give it a beat? Let it do its thing. For God's sakes, I turned it up three times in like 15 seconds and it just exploded through me.
Kevin's in a rush,
so don't do that.
Monday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show means we catch up with our friend Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. To the newsroom we go. Hey, Harvey, welcome to December, my friend. How are you?
Welcome to December, my God. Yikes.
I know, right? Listen, I spent some time with your site over the weekend when I saw the initial story on Scott Stapp, the former lead singer of Creed. Like many K-Rock fans, I was delighted to see that he was broke. But then, once I started delving into it a little bit deeper, it looks like this is a super sad story, Harvey.
It's really sad. I mean, he has gone off the rails. If you believe his wife, and, you know, look, there are two things that have happened. One, police put him on a 72-hour psych hold about a week ago, and then the wife is now trying to get him back in for 60 days. You may have seen the video of him where he says, look, I'm not on drugs. This is all crazy. People are making these stories up. Not according to the police, not according to doctors. And now the wife is saying, then get this, we're talking amphetamine, steroids, weed, coke, PCP, ketamine, other drugs.
Wow.
He has become delusional. He's a danger to himself. He's difficult with his son. He doesn't have a place to live. He sometimes goes without eating. He lives in his car. And it is desperate, according to the wife.
All right, let me break that down, because there's a lot of information there that has been unfolding day after day this over the long holiday weekend. First of all, what happened to all of his money?
You know, look, over the 9 years we've been at TMZ, I've stopped getting shocked at that. That there are people, I mean, you've seen this, where people can make $100 million and then go bankrupt. I mean, look at Evander Holyfield. I mean, it can happen.
Michael Jackson.
Michael Jackson, we could go on and on and on. I mean, there are so many people. Look, just because they're stars doesn't mean they know how to manage money. And it happens so often, and it's not that surprising that it happened to Scott Stapp, especially if all of these drug stories are true.
Okay. Is there anything to – I mean, he's making so many outrageous claims. He is also claiming that the IRS came after him, right, because he had been outspoken critical against President Obama, right?
He's suggesting it was almost at the behest of Obama. So, yeah, I mean, he is – And look, I mean, you know, maybe stuff like this does happen because of the IRS went after the Tea Party.
Yeah.
So that can happen, but it sounds like he's got some real paranoia issues.
He also called his kids' school and said that ISIS was going to attack.
Called his kids' school, said they were impending ISIS attack. I mean, it's really bad. It's really desperate.
So is he's separated from his wife now, the mother of his child?
Separated from the wife. The wife is filing for divorce. The wife and his mother-in-law filed these papers to get him committed for 60 days.
So what's going to happen on that, Harvey? I mean, it sounds to me like there's enough for somebody to swoop in and take him in, right?
If you believe the wife, then yes. But remember, you know, when you look at this video, he doesn't seem out of his head.
Right.
And, you know, it just reminds me of Amanda Bynes, where Amanda Bynes was just having a psychotic episode, but because drugs stabilized her, her medications, a judge let her go, and she's
right.
Now free.
Right.
So that can happen, too.
Wow. Well, we'll definitely keep an eye on that. It's just, it's so shocking. I mean, it's easy for us to forget now because that period in music seems so long ago. But, I mean, for years, Creed was one of the best-selling bands in the world. And we played them a lot here on K-Rock. I know it pains me to admit that now, but they were really popular with our audience, Harvey.
A friend of mine sent me a text on Wednesday or Thursday and said, although I have a constitutional hatred for Creed, I feel bad about Scott Stapp.
Yeah, I mean, you do, no matter what your feelings on their band is.
Exactly.
Right.
All right, let's move on to another big story over the weekend, and this was a surprise to me. How about you, Harvey, that Ray Rice won his appeal and now can play for the NFL again? Tell me about that.
It was not a surprise to me. I mean, I think Roger Goodell is so the bad guy in this.
Really?
It's hard for me to even express it, but Roger Goodell is all about saving his ass. And And that's what this has been about from the beginning, that Roger Goodell gave him a two-game suspension, which was ridiculous given what he did. Mm-hmm. And then when TMZ Sports puts the video up, he decides, I've got to save my own hide, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to look real tough, and I'm going to give him an indefinite suspension. Well, how do you do that when you've already imposed a penalty? Just
yes.
Because, what, you got embarrassed by TMZ Sports?
That's exactly what it was.
That's exactly what
the circumstances of what happened in the elevator hadn't changed at all, and everyone says that Ray Rice was forthcoming about what happened in that elevator, so just that you embarrassed him is what made him make that second move.
And so he needs some justification for doing it, so he decides, screw it, I'll just throw Ray Rice under the bus. And then what he says is, Ray Rice lied to me. And nobody said Ray Rice lied to him. Everybody was saying Ray Rice told the truth. But the only way Goodell can justify the additional penalty is to say that Ray Rice lied. Well, the judge said BS. And the judge said he didn't lie to you. And therefore, you can't impose a second penalty for the same offense. And the judge said, forget it. The two-game suspension was the penalty. We're going to lift the indefinite suspension. And, you know, how do you not say Roger Goodell is completely in it for himself and no one else? How can you possibly make that argument?
I think everybody hates Roger Goodell for this. But I want to ask a follow-up question with Ray Rice, which is there a team out there that wants the possible bad PR?
Well, look, TMZ Sports spent a lot of time over the weekend contacting players, and the players want him. A lot of players think he deserves a second chance. They say that he's repaired the relationship with Jhené, and I'm talking not fringe players. I'm talking big players
right. We've
talked to. And, you know, that said, that doesn't mean the owners are going to get on board because it is a distraction.
Yep.
But, again, that said, they brought Michael Vick back.
Yeah, that's true.
Right.
But he served time in prison. Like, that seems to me like he satisfied what the law needed.
Well,
and Ray Rice, you don't even know the truth.
There are a lot of people who felt what Michael Vick did was unforgivable, prison aside.
Right.
And yet he came back and people embraced him. And so, you know, look, I'm not saying he is going to come back. I'm saying a lot of the players want him back. And, you know, I think there's such animosity for Roger Goodell that Roger Goodell made Ray Rice a victim, which is pretty incredible.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. There's no question there's politics involved at play here as well. All right, Harvey, we know you got a meeting to get to. We'll let you go. TMZ airs on Fox all throughout the day, Channel 11, TMZ Live at 4 on the same Channel 11, and TMZ Hollywood Sports airs Monday through Friday at 5 on the Reels Channel. Thanks for the time, man. Have a great week.
You too, guys.
All right, thank you, Harvey. All right, we have tickets for night number one.
Yes.
Sold out 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. This is a contest that I could never in 1 million years win.
Nor could I.
But people do.
And we're kind of up in the ante a little bit on some of the games this week because you are not only going to win tickets for night number one, you will also win Bud Light backstage passes to night number one or night number two. How about that? Night number one in this case, I guess, as I read this again. So it's Bush, Fall Out Boy, Incubus, Linkin Park, New Politics, Rise Against, Royal Blood, System of a Down, Walk the Moon. Keep in mind what that lineup is as you try to identify the songs in order in this montage.
Not possible.
What?
Not possible. All right, so we're looking for band and song title.
Yes, I believe so.
Okay, in order.
Let's play it a couple more times, and then we'll take some phone calls at 1-800-520-1067. And we can tell you that all 9 acts from night number one are in the montage. Listen again. You got it yet, Lisa?
No.
That's just stupid.
I do not have it yet.
I could play this game for 1 million years. I would never end up at it. All right, one more time.
I think I got one.
1-800-520-1067. We'll take your guesses tonight.
We're going to meet two more contestants, two more finalists to be Miss Double December 2015 later on this morning's show. They'll be joining us in studio. Don't forget, you can go to krock.com right now and cast your vote and plan on joining us this Friday, December 5th, for the Miss Double December pageant at the Slide Bar Rock and Roll Kitchen in downtown Fullerton. I think the rain will be out of here by then,
by the way. Yeah.
So I think we're going to be fine broadcasting live on Friday. So, Kevin, this montage is a little tougher for people than they usually seem to be.
Yeah, it's hard for me to tell because I could never get any of them.
Right.
Easy, hard, doesn't matter. But this does seem like it's difficult. We will play it for you again, and then we'll open the phones, 1-800-520-1067. You can call and tell us the band and the song title in order for the montage. You were gonna need a montage. And I'm not sure how people do this ever.
I don't either.
But they seem
to. I don't know how they
do
it either. But here's what's a surprise to me is we've done this dozens of times over the years. We've never not had a winner.
Agreed. Might take us a while.
Today could be that day.
Might take us a while. We heard it earlier and we were like, you know, it's hard to judge because none of us could do this.
Right. But there are people who always can.
But there are people who always can. Here's the montage. You just have to tell us the band and the song title, and you'll win tickets for night number one, the sold-out 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas, and Bud Light backstage passes as well. Here it is.
You can definitely hear parts of nine different songs.
All right.
You can definitely hear it. I mean, count it as it goes through. Count it, and you can hear it.
One more time. All right. Let's start with Ricardo in Hawthorne. Hi.
Hi, how's it going?
Good,
hi,
thanks.
Ricardo, this is tough, right?
It was really tough.
All right.
How are you feeling about it?
I'm pretty pumped about it.
Pretty okay. Pumped, okay.
All right, we're talking about night number one and backstage passes, if you can tell us in order by title and artist.
Okay. Number one, New Politics.
Title?
The name of the song?
Yep.
I don't have the names of the songs. I just have the actual artist.
Wow. Mm. Well, we do need that. We do need both. But I'd be willing to let Ricardo go just to see how he did.
All right, Ricardo, okay. Go ahead. So you said New Politics. That is the correct first band.
And number two, Bush.
All right.
Correct.
Three, Incubus.
C.
Four, Royal Blood.
We.
5, Linkin Park.
Uh-huh.
6, Walk the Moon.
Wow, he's got him in order.
He's good.
That's impressive.
Okay.
7, System of a Down.
Yes. All right.
8, Fall Out Boy.
Okay.
Yes. Wow.
And 9, Rise Against.
How did you do that? How did you identify all of those bands? And I don't mean this at all to be offensive to you, and not know what songs they were, because you'd have to know what the song is to know what the band is.
A little bit of research as far as I recorded the actual montage and then just played it over and over and wrote down the bands.
That's a good tip.
I know the band. It's tough to name all the songs right when you're trying to figure out the bands, because there's some that, you know, some songs that I'm not too familiar with, but
right.
I knew the sound right away when I started jotting them down.
I am incredibly impressed that you were able to do that, and I feel terrible that we can't give you tickets. Although maybe we take Ricardo's information. If nobody figures out the montage, maybe we give it to him.
That's a good idea.
Good enough for me.
He did break the first half of the code.
Yeah,
he certainly did.
All
yeah.
The bands in order.
Yeah,
I mean, that's really impressive, Ricardo. Honestly, well done, sir.
I appreciate
it. All right, we're going to put you on hold and take down all your information, okay?
Cool. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Let's play it a couple more times before we have to take a break. And then if somebody else calls through and can identify it with the songs, then they'll win the tickets. And Ricardo will get nothing.
That would suck for him, huh? Here it is.
I think our boy Ricardo's already done the hard work.
Oh, yeah.
All right, fill in the blanks, kids. 1-800-520-1067. Win your way into night number one of the sold-out 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. We'll be right back. That's called a montage. Girl, we want a montage. Ralph is here, time for the showbiz beat, but first, I think we have some good news for our boy Ricardo.
Yes, we do. Hey, Ricardo.
Ricardo, got some good Hello? News for you, Ricky.
How's it going?
It's going well.
Are you still pumped up, man?
Did you smoke out since the last time we talked to you?
You still all pumped up about this? You sound pumped.
You have no idea.
Oh, I can tell. I have an idea. I can tell you sound pumped.
Ricardo, I don't know how it happened in the dozens of times that we've done montages over the year that we've never had this happen before where somebody wasn't able to crack it, title an artist. But this time it didn't happen. And since you were first through and you had all the bands, we're going to give you the tickets.
Oh, my God.
Tickets to Night One plus Bud Light backstage passes.
Oh, my God.
Congratulations, man.
Thank you so much. Okay. I really appreciate it.
Don't get overpumped, man.
Hey, come up and say hi to us since you're going to be backstage. Say hi to us on that Saturday night, okay?
I will. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right, Ricardo. We appreciate you listening. Thank you, sir. Well done.
What are you thinking, Bean?
What do you mean?
Oh, come see us. Who wants to hang out with that guy? Come on. He needs to get pumped up.
I just appreciate him listening and
he's
trying.
Too pumped. He's too pumped. He's going to be too excited.
Bean, he has to talk to every listener.
It's all about the people.
He goes all out to talk to every single listener.
He won't leave that venue until he's shaking every single hand.
And if you don't go say hi to him, he'll track you down.
He'll come to you.
Go to your house.
I can't help it that I'm social, you guys. There's nothing I can do about that. All right, we're going to talk to – we got another problem here that somebody on the Kevin and Bean show has already finished his Christmas shopping. So we're going to discuss that coming up after the top of the hour. Plus some Miss Double D's stopping by today. Andrew Siciliano on the show as well talking the NFL. Time for Showbiz Beat. Now here's Ralph.
First things, a little couple comments about the show so far.
Okay. All good?
The hotel I stayed at in Hawaii for my little vacation had the Toto toilet seat.
Oh, really?
We were talking about the bidets earlier.
Okay. Toto is that's the best. That's the crown jewel of toilets. Right?
I would cut myself short of finishing my business so I could go back and use the toilet again a couple minutes later. That's how awesome that toilet is. I would do it in stages.
And that's difficult.
It is. I got to time it right. You have to wait for the break of the action. And then you just hold on. Clench.
So the best thing ever.
Best thing ever.
Yeah.
Bidets are the best thing ever. I will not have you belittle bidets.
Not the standalone, though.
The bidet is the bidet, whether it's the part of the seat or the standalone.
A standalone no one needs.
I would take it.
You wouldn't versus, take it the versus, way I took it.
Well, I'm not a fool. I don't set it for a jet engine.
Ralph can operate machinery. He knows how a dial works.
But I would rather have a bidet than not.
All right.
Now, would you go to the expense and effort of installing one in your home? Would you get one of these Totos for your home, Ralph?
Boy, they are pricey.
They are pricey, but it's something you use multiple times a day, every day for the rest of your life.
They are a pricey number, but they do. The seat is warmed when you sit down.
That's pretty cool.
And you get to pick the oscillating cleansing, front and rear, front for the ladies, of course. Uh-huh. And then you got the dryer setting. You just sit there while you're reading. You hit the dryer button. After you've been gently cleansed with water, it will dry you off with a dryer, a hair dryer type contraption.
That's the opposite of my experience.
It will dry your significant areas, and then you stand up. You pull up your pants.
So fresh, so clean.
Or in Beer Mike's case, you drop your muumuu, and then you just carry on about your day.
So how long does it take to use the bathroom?
It doesn't matter. Like whatever it takes. It's one of those
Ralph
experiences.
Ralph makes it last longer.
I'm going back three or four times a day.
He's out there eating like a madman trying to have to go again.
Give me some more of those dates. And what else do we have? Any fiber? Any sort of fiber? What'll go through me like duck through a goose? Or,
say that.
That's why I opted not to. Right. And then I get mocked for my common sense.
All right.
So that's being said.
Saying don't do it how I did.
Right. But I'm saying bidets, thumbs up from this soldier over here.
All right.
Second comment on the show.
Yes.
I heard you guys talking to Harvey Levin about the Scott Stapp fella.
Yeah.
Yes.
This Creed boy. And how could he be broke, was one of the questions being asked. How could he be broke?
They sold, 20, 30 million copies of their albums back in the day.
I am equally flummoxed at his pennilessness. As I am, which leads me to my first showbiz news story, about the Burt Reynolds auction. Have you heard about this?
No.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
Burt Reynolds is auctioning off everything he owns because he is flat-ass broke.
Oh, wow.
Now, some of you may have just know the name Burt Reynolds without really understanding who I'm talking about. There was no bigger movie star on the planet Earth than Burt Reynolds at a time not too long ago in this nation's history. 70s, 80s, huge movie star.
Yep.
pulling in top payday for each and every film that was a smash hit at the box office. You may have heard of his films Smokey and the Bandit, both 1 and 2. Yeah, Boogie Nights, of course, he was in. The Oscar nominated for that. I mean, just a smash hit after smash hit. Broke. Flat broke. Has to sell off his stuff.
Wow.
He's selling his trombone.
Who knew? Who knew he had one?
I didn't even know that. Yeah, it's tragic. I'm going to get me one of those helmets from Longest Yard. It's got some left up for sale. I want one of
you have
those.
Room for that?
I want one of those helmets.
You need a new room then.
I'm just going to wear it around. I don't need to put it anywhere. I'm going to wear it.
While you're on the bidet?
That's right. The auction will be happening December 11th and 12th at the Palms in Vegas, but also through Julian's Auctions Online. But just so sad when I heard that news. His house is up for foreclosure.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Filed bankruptcy. I mean, he's done. And I had the same reaction to Bean had. It was like, this guy was on top of the world. How can you go through whatever money he was earning? How can you not have that forever? Some of it. I guess
invested or something.
I guess you spend like you think you'll always have that kind of that level of income, and it's just not the case, right? Craziness. It's Monday, right?
Yes.
Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Hunger Games sequel, Mockingjay Part 1, once again topped the weekend, making an additional $36 million over the Thanksgiving. I'm sorry, excuse me, $82.7 million over the Thanksgiving 5-day weekend. Penguins of Madagascar, they were the ones who made $36 million over that same weekend. They were number two. Then Big Hero 6, Interstellar, Horrible Bosses 2 was fifth. Dumb and Dumber was sixth. The Theory of Everything, Stephen Hawking biopic, it was seventh. Gone Girl, Birdman, and St. Vincent rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Director Woody Allen is 76 years old. Oh, before I get any further, I'm sorry. One last thing.
Yeah. Another note on the show?
Show. We're talking about our Thanksgiving activities. Did anyone besides me watch the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade?
No.
I watched some of it.
It was entertaining as always, wasn't it, Lisa?
Yeah.
With those giant balloons and the musical acts they had. Kevin, musical acts from all generations. Something for everybody.
Yeah.
Including Kiss.
Yes.
Kiss.
What?
On like a flatbed truck.
Come on. Really?
Like
all tongues.
As if it was the Hollywood Christmas Parade. Just sort of a bare bones set, and them set up. Maybe it was Kiss, maybe it was God's Dressed Up Kiss, I don't know. Lip syncing to I Want to Rock and Roll All Night and Party Every Day.
Lip syncing.
And they had like pyrotechnics, like pew, pew, like sparklers going off at the end of the song. It was the saddest thing I've ever seen.
How far they've fallen.
To be matched only by how sad Al Roker was afterwards in their praise.
Okay.
Don't take my word for it.
Oh, man! That is one for the ages! Oh, my gosh! It's also in the book celebrating their 40th anniversary. Kiss just rocking 30 to a fortune and rolled into the 88th edition of America's Holiday Break. We are not worthy! We are not worthy!
Oh. Yeah. Al bringing back the Wayne's World. We are not worthy.
Everything about that sucks.
It did. It sucked completely. At that point, I turned to my wife and said, Kevin might be right about this.
I pooped my pants.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Woody Allen, 79, Bette Midler, 69, Sarah Silverman's 44, Emily Mortimer, McKenzie from The Newsroom. Can't wait for that show to come back, by the way, in its final season. 43 years old.
We're four weeks in already, Ralph.
What the what? Yeah.
Four out of six.
What?
Yeah, there's only six episodes. We're four down already.
I gotta go. Brad Delson's 37 years old today. Vance Joy celebrates his 27th birthday. Janelle Monáe is 29, and Zoe Kravitz turns 26 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Some songs, when your alarm goes off, you can ignore. That is not one of them.
No, that's true.
That will wake you straight up. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is 10 minutes after 7 o'clock. Omar, we hate you.
Why you gotta hate? Why you gotta hate?
I don't hate. I don't hate Omar at all, but I am fascinated by how he does it because he has managed to accomplish something that the rest of us only dream of.
Oh.
And that is, here we are on the 1st of December, and he has already finished his Christmas shopping.
Done. Dunzo.
Nope, I hate you.
But yeah,
I'm pretty sure I hate you.
Lisa and I are together in team hate.
I was done.
He's just team fascination.
3:30 p.m. Friday. Done.
Oh, my
really?
God.
Yeah.
See, here's what you can't identify with this, Omar, unless maybe this is how you used to be, and that's why you changed. But the rest of us realized this morning when we looked at the calendar that it's December the 1st, and we thought, holy S, do I have a lot to get done between now and Christmas.
Exactly.
Because all the people that I have to find out something that I want to get them, and then have it shipped, and then have it wrapped, and then get it to them. The rest of us have all of that to worry
about.
But
Bean, you always rely on the lie that it's in the mail.
It always is in the mail.
It's in the mail. I don't know what happened. I know it's February. I don't know why you didn't get it.
I don't think any of my Christmas presents have ever been beyond the first couple of days of January. But yeah, sometimes I am a little late in getting them mailed out. And that's partly why I'm so impressed with Omar, is that he's already done. Are you one of these people who shops throughout the year, O?
I do. I work with people who is very difficult to shop for. So you guys are probably the most difficult people to shop for. Because I would imagine you guys have everything. So I have to be really creative.
Right.
You know? So if I do see something, I pick it up.
Okay, so you do that throughout the year?
For you guys.
Okay, so
absolutely, yeah.
You're finished with the Kevin and Bean show?
I'm finished with the Kevin Bean show, yeah.
Are you finished with your family?
That I wrapped up on Friday. Yep. I hit some Black Friday.
What's happening?
A couple stores. I hit Kohl's, Lowe's, and Best Buy. And I got to be honest with you, there was nobody out there. It was. I got up at 6:30. Took a quick shower, hit Starbucks, hit Kohl's, Lowe's, Best Buy. On Friday morning, and I got home before my wife and kids woke up. I was at home by 9:30.
Good Lord.
I went to the mall on Saturday, and there was no one there, and I was surprised.
Yeah, it was. A lot of people say that, you know, think Black Friday is the busiest holiday shopping day. Mm-hmm. It's really not. It's the Saturday right before Christmas. Oh.
That's right.
And that's when people really get
the panic. That's when the rest of us shop.
So I was that guy.
You were.
I was December 24th guy at the Glendale Galleria. And, the only spot available was on the top floor of the parking in the corner.
Right.
And I'm running in and the shops are closing. I'm like, I don't know what to get. I'm just going to get whatever. And
most of the shelves are empty.
Absolutely. There's nothing there. And you know what? I mean.
Kids. Something else from Wicks and Sticks this year.
Yeah. And, you know, and then you know, as I grew older, I actually really started taking joy in finding gifts that people actually care about or are surprised with or actually use, gave me a really good feeling. So I actually became, I was a crappy gift giver, and I actually became, I think, I don't know, you guys tell me, a pretty good gift
giver.
Yeah,
no, I think
yes,
you are.
Absolutely.
I'd say great, but my intention is the same, and yet I haven't started.
Really?
Like, I want everyone to be thrilled. But I haven't begun.
And then also, the other reason is people get more, like you said, dicky. Because people are more in pressure at the stores,
yes.
And they shove and stuff. Like literally, everybody was super nice this past Friday. I was in line chatting it up with people. It was super cool. Not a big deal.
Did you tell them that you were done with your Christmas shopping? Because
I didn't say that. Yeah. No.
We want to take calls if you're like Omar, if you have already finished your Christmas shopping here on December 1st. We do want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. Also, if you can name the songs in that montage.
The montage is over.
But my question for you, Kevin, and I think I know the answer because I think you and I are the same on this, is do you ever see something in June that you think would be a good gift for somebody?
No, I wish I did.
Because I think I'm the same way. I just don't think I've got that part of my brain engaged to be looking at things, you know, through that prism of, oh, what would I want to have around to give to somebody at the holidays?
For me, it just kind of clicks. Whenever I'm at Amazon or BestBuy.com or something like that, it kind of just clicks.
There's no click, like, you know, though. You know my mind. There's no clicking.
And my excuse was that I don't go out to stores to shop much.
Right.
I might go get clothes once in a while, but that's about – and grocery stores. That's the only stores I go into.
Yeah.
Everything else is online
But you said online,
yeah,
too.
Online,
you do
yeah,
that.
I did. Yeah, online some on Friday. And, you know, I had a lot of experiences like Bean when I order stuff really early, and they promise it's going to be there in 2 weeks, and
right.
then it takes about a month. So I didn't want that to happen either, so I made sure I was going to hop on a Friday.
Let me ask you how you get around this, because this has happened to me, is I'll see something. For instance, I saw something a couple of months ago that I thought would be great for Lisa, but I thought between now and Christmas is a long time. There's a really good possibility she'll get that between now and then. You know what I mean? You can't shop too early for some people if you're getting something
Most of the stuff that I get for people are things that people wouldn't buy from themselves. So, I don't really run into that issue.
Just
drugs, yeah.
Ooh, a box of drugs for me?
Kevin has a fistful of E.
Name of my autobiography. Omar.
Yeah. My Christmas tree is up and all my Christmas lights are up too, by the way.
What
all right, now you're just rubbing
Omar?
It in.
Now you're just being a dick.
I already took my family holiday portraits, and I already took my kids to see Santa.
That's not. You're joking.
I swear to God.
You're joking.
He's going to pack up his tree in a week. He's done.
I also, you know, I have no weekends because all the acoustic Christmas weekend, that takes up one weekend. And then holiday parties. I'm DJing holiday parties. By the way, you can book me at DJOmarcon.com if you need a DJ.
He'll make you feel bad about yourself. You'll get on the mic and go, hey, everybody, I'm done with my Christmas shopping.
Yeah, yeah.
F you. How are you on Valentine's Day gifts yet?
Oh, I'm terrible at that.
Nah. You're not done yet?
It's Valentine's Day at my house every day.
So there you go. All right, let's take – oh, we don't have time for a call yet.
Nope.
John, you hang on. Valerie, hang on. Robert, Marie, everybody else. Apparently, there are a lot of Omars out there who have managed to finish their shopping before November is even done. We want to find out how you did it. We'll talk to you next year on K-Rock.
I got Sonic Highways for all of you guys. I hope you don't have it yet.
It's on TV. We're already watching it for free on TV. By the way, I'm pretty sad there's only one episode left of the Sonic Highways Foo Fighters HBO show.
Sure,
it's only one.
All right, Omar's finished with his Christmas shopping, and that annoys us. And during that song by the Foo Fighters, he told us that he makes Christmas gifts for his wife.
Yes.
Yeah.
F you.
Yeah.
You've already got the job, Omar. You don't need to impress her anymore.
I'm pretty good.
All right, we want to take some calls from listeners who have finished their Christmas shopping at 1-800-520-1067. Let's go to George. He's in Downey. He's on line 5. Apparently, he used to be a bad Christmas shopper, but now he's all that. So let's find out how he did it. Hey, George.
Good morning, Kevin, Bean, Omar.
Hey.
Lisa.
Hello.
You already done?
Hi.
You're finished?
Yes. And my fiance, Martha, who's probably listening right now, she's the one who taught me. She actually taught me, you know, in September, you got to start your shopping. And we were in the Target about September 15-ish, and you start seeing all the toys on clearance.
Right.
So it's great. So you just start there. And
so everybody at work, everybody at home, all family, you're finished. You're done.
Yes.
Family. I don't like you, George.
I didn't like her either when she taught me that, but it's a beautiful thing. And now all I have to worry about is how to pay for everything.
So are you just, like, right now, are you just, it's a tremendous burden off of you. December comes around, and there's not the stress and the pressure that everybody else is feeling. You can just breathe a sigh of relief knowing that you got the hardest part of the holiday in the bag.
Yep.
All right, F you.
Thanks. You're better than we are. Thank you for the call, though. We appreciate it. Let's go to, Marie. She's in Norwalk. We're going to find out where she lives, and we're going to come after her with torches if what she's saying online here is true.
Hey, Marie.
What up?
You're done with Christmas shopping for this year.
I go December 26th. Doesn't everybody else?
So you haven't started yet?
No, I go for the after Christmas sales for next Christmas.
Wait a second. You're saying that on December 26th, you buy presents for the following year's Christmas?
Yes, I go for the after Christmas sales. I buy all the presents. I have shelves above my closet. I hide it there.
How do you know that you're still going to be speaking to those people a year from then?
Well, then I save the presents for other people if I don't talk to them.
So you're saying that you've been done since before the calendar year 2014 began?
I've had a lot of stuff, and then I finish up Black Friday, or I go at the end of every season. They always have, like, end-of-season clearance, so I'll buy, like, inflatable pools or, like, weird stuff that's on clearance, and then I'll give that out, too.
Are you a hoarder?
No, I'm not, but I always have presents. Like, we'll get last-minute birthday invitations, and I'm like, look, I got you a pool.
I don't think she's a good gift giver.
Mom,
she's just a gift
Mom,
giver.
I know you don't swim anymore, but I got you a pool.
People love inviting us to their kids' parties because they're like, they got her a pool last year.
That is awesome. Marie, are you this organized in the rest of your life, or are you just a savant when it comes to gifts?
No, I'm a little anal, but I'm not always that organized.
Hey, now.
All right. I'm very impressed. I got to tell you. Hey, thank you for the call, Marie. We appreciate it. Omar, Lister wrote in and wants to know if you can brag that you are done with your gift giving because you just bought gift cards for everybody, because that's easy.
Oh, no, good question.
Absolutely not. No, I actually, on Black Friday, I went through the ads and I kind of like saw what they had available, made a list of the stores I was going to hit, and then I was pleasantly surprised by the selection they had at Kohl's, and I actually ended up buying more than I was originally going to buy. And I actually,
how many gifts did you buy? How many gifts on your list?
34.
Wow.
That's pretty impressive.
I knocked out 34 people, yeah.
Hmm. You know how many gifts I have?
Yeah, how many?
Zero.
Yeah. None. Well, we're all chipping in and getting you a bidet, Kevin. We have a winner, ladies and gentlemen. Congratulations. Nope. Miss Double December 2015, Michelle.
Not a winner yet.
We can just cancel the pageant, right?
She's a contestant. She's here.
All right. Let's go through the motions. Let's meet another Miss Double D contestant.
Here she comes. She's our Miss Double December.
Nice melons.
She's an angel, and just look at those cans.
I feel those boobs.
She's got big guns, baby. She's got the hoots. Boy, how she gets me excited. Hey, look, my is hard.
Well, the kids love her. Let's not
the
break
kids
their
do
hearts.
Love her.
Come on. Hi, Michelle.
Hello. Good morning.
Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. You want to be Miss Double December 2015. Do I have it right so far?
You have it right so far.
See, we have so much in common already, you and I.
What are you talking about? You don't want to be Miss Double December 2015.
I think he wants me to be Miss Double December.
Yes,
exactly. He wants the same thing as you.
I just, see, yeah. Michelle speaks speed.
Sorry.
Tell it's us, how'd you hear about the competition, first of all?
Well, actually, one of my really great friends, Miss Double December 2013.
13, yeah.
Lux was a winner, and I actually didn't even tell her I was going on. I just, like, went on the website, and I was like, okay, I'm going to enter and see how it goes. And then I was like, hey, Lux, what do you think? I'm going to enter. But I had already entered my information. Don't tell her.
What if she said, oh, it's a bad idea?
Yeah, exactly.
I hated
no,
it.
No, no, no. She was like, oh, my God, it's going to be awesome. You're going to love everyone. And wait, did you enter? And I was like, yeah, I already entered.
Like, tell us the truth, by the way, because, you know, we've spent a lot of time with Lux over the last, certainly the year of her reign, and we've stayed in touch with her.
Mm-hmm.
Does she? What does she say about us when we're not around?
I mean, she says you guys stink, but yeah. I'm just joking. No, no, no. She says really awesome things. She loves you guys. And I think that was like one of the main reasons that I wanted to be a part of it as well, is because she's so well-rounded and she's awesome. And I love hanging out with her. So I feel like anybody that she can hang out with, I can hang out with.
That's
so.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Lux was great. And Brittany, another one of our all-time greatest Miss Double Decembers. I'm going to be so sad to see her go. And, of course, you know, on Friday, she's going to be transferring the power of the Miss Double D crown via saliva on stage on Friday.
You can't say kiss. You
that's
can't just
how
say
it works.
He didn't say kiss. He said saliva.
I know.
Yeah.
Saliva can mean numerous things.
So I'm making it up is what you're saying.
Yeah, it's a little creepy.
All right. Let's find out a little bit more about Michelle. Kevin, any questions for our guest?
Well, you did answer a bunch of questions here. You say you're a little Filipino with a bunch of spunk.
That's me.
Bell, please. if you could have one superpower, what would it be and why? The ability to speed really fast. Somehow I'm always running late and would use it to benefit me to be extra early.
It's in my genetics to be late. I'm Filipino.
Filipinos are always
they're late. Always late. I'm surprised really? I was on time today. Huh. I mean, I barely made it. I walked in the door, and they were like, hey, and they were like grabbing me by my hair, and they were like dragging me.
No one grabbed you by the hair.
Okay, no one really. It was by the ear. But okay.
How are you going to feel about Fullerton at 6 a.m. on Friday?
I'm going to feel fine. I'm going to feel just like this. Amazing. We're going to be pumped.
Okay.
Maybe on coffee, caffeine. Okay, probably not, because I probably have to go to the bathroom if I have to be on that. So
yeah.
No, it'll be great. It'll be awesome and exciting and you got to just show your smile, and sometimes you just got to be happy even when you're not happy.
Do you wow, it just turned dark in here. Do you have any beauty pageant experience, Michelle? Because you sound like you know what the hell you're talking about.
No.
Well, your occupation is model.
I wrote it all down, and then I had to practice numerous times in front of a mirror. No, I don't have any beauty pageant experience, but I am a great public speaker. You can iHeartMichelle.com for bookings. Thanks. I'm just joking. No, please don't book me for public speaking. It's really bad.
What kind of modeling?
Microphone.
What kind of modeling do you do?
Actually, it was supposed to be corrected.
Oh.
No, I'm actually a model manager now.
Yes.
Right. I used to model, and I did a lot of modeling. Print. I did import. I did a little bit of everything. So
I do car shows. That's my thing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm Asian, so I mean, granted, I had to go to a few, you know?
As long as you're not inside the car.
All right. No.
if selected as a finalist, you'll be asked to perform in a talent show. What is your talent?
It's a roly-poly roll. And only my gymnast and dancer friends would know what
a
that is.
A roly-poly roll? Yes, I've completely lost. I have no idea what that is. That's not like doing the Tootsie Roll, is it?
It's not like doing the sexy Tootsie
That's a
Roll.
Good guess, yeah. It's a very good guess.
It's actually not really that sexy. I feel like the contest should be something sexy, but I was like, I'm just going to do something really funny and quirky because I think... But I tried.
Right.
I actually
go
tried
a different
to,
direction.
Yeah, I tried to do it, and I went home, and I like did it, and it's not really, it's not sexy at all.
Who
guys.
But who comes up with who goes? Yeah, I should do a roly poly roll.
I do.
But I mean, when you I just came up with it on the spur of the moment?
Yeah, on the spur of the moment, I was like answering the questionnaire, and it said, "What's your special talent?" And I'm like, "Oh my god, roly poly roll!" Like it was just instant. I like
obviously
see. You're yeah. weird, guys. That's a strange answer. That's bizarre. All right. You're also a motorboating expert, I see here.
I am. Yeah, you can ask any of my girlfriends or even girls that I don't know.
Okay.
Okay,
all
maybe.
Right, good. Fantastic.
We have a winner.
Who's your favorite K-rock band, Michelle?
Well, I actually really like Maroon 5, and I thought about this question so many times when I was at home. I was like, who am I going to say?
Oh, I need to lie so they like me? Is that what you thought?
No, but I was like, I can't lie. So I really like Maroon 5. I mean, I've heard a lot of Chemical Romance. My Chemical Romance. Sorry, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Missed in that. So that's it. Maroon 5. Yay.
I like that you just said, screw it. I'm just going to tell them Maroon 5.
Yeah.
Michelle is a take it or leave it kind of girl.
She is. And she's going to do a roly-poly roll.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right. Well, if you win Miss Double December, and by the way, we urge everybody to go to krock.com right now. You can go to the Miss Double D section, and you can cast your vote for Michelle. How are you getting the word out, by the way, Michelle? How do you feel like you're doing with rallying the Michelle troops?
I think I'm doing... as best as I can. I'm going and telling all my friends. It's on social media. It's on my website. I've been telling, it's kind of funny, all the models that I match, I'm like, you guys have to go on the site and vote every day. It's mandatory.
I'm your boss. You do what I say.
No, I'm not really telling the girls that, but I wish I did. So if you girls are listening... immediately go on krock.com.
If you do win and do become Miss Double December 2015, you'll be going to both nights of the sold-out 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas, which is going to be in a couple of weeks. Of course, we'll see you at the pageant on Friday. And then yes. Next year, we got the Kevin and Bean April Foolishness, and we got the Weenie Roast, and we got singles parties and breakfast with, and all sorts of fun stuff. The only downside is you got to hang out with Kevin and Bean, but it's the ladies in the past have found it a small price to pay for all the good stuff that comes with it.
It sounds like a great time.
All right, you can vote for Michelle, KevinandBean.com. Thank you, Michelle, for coming in. You're going to go in the other room. You're going to do your talent.
Yep, my roly-poly roll.
Roly-poly roll. All right, thanks for coming in. We appreciate it.
See you Friday.
Thank you.
He's not eating while he's waiting for his three triple-decker tacos to arrive, is he?
Yes.
We ordered food 5 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Muggs is chomping in my ear.
Fritos! Get us Fritos! They're my appetizer.
He has to pre-eat. Because it might be 10 more minutes before we get food.
It's unbelievable.
It's too long.
So you're not going to live to see 30, Muggs. And that makes us all so happy.
I'm 31.
So I guess he did live to see 30. All right. There's that. Okay, there's that.
That's a tough argument.
Yeah. It's hard to deny that one.
I'm going to refigure my math and get back to you on that one.
Oh, being a guy likes numbers, too. His head must be spinning right now. He's so wigged out.
Can't get my head around that. Hey, Andrew Siciliano talks Week 13 NFL with us next hour, and we'll meet another Miss Double D contestant. That's all coming up. Ralph's got the showbiz beat now on a Monday.
Kevin.
What? What did I do?
Your Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah.
The Atlanta Falcons, for corn's sake.
Yeah. There's that.
Just saying.
Drew Stanton, not exactly...
But the Arizona
Hall of Famer.
Cardinals. Atlanta Falcons.
No Fitzgerald.
But Atlanta Falcons.
I know, I hear you.
I'm just saying.
Everything you're saying is correct.
Saying Atlanta Falcons over and over again. You don't seem to hear me.
But still 9-3?
9-3, yeah.
How about that?
I think all the good teams in the league are 9-3 right now. All the best teams are all 9-3.
Oh, are you
9-3
right as well?
Yes, the Eagles are also 9-3.
That was a good game. I was happy for you.
Thank you so much. Thanksgiving. Did anybody watch that BS Charlie Brown Thanksgiving special?
I did.
Oh, why would you?
I watch it every year. I love it.
It's the worst thing on television. It's just a nightmare of unfunny.
It doesn't have the, I will confess, it does not have the charm of the Charlie Brown Christmas special.
or the Halloween one?
It's not as good as the Halloween one either, actually.
That's what I'm
now
saying.
That you mentioned it.
It's the worst of all the bad Charlie Brown shows. And yet, inexplicably, in its 41st year of airing on television this time of year, it was the number one show of the night.
That surprises me, because it does not hold up well.
It does not.
So you watched it and really didn't like it much.
I watch it every year.
He knows it's the worst of the batch. It does not hold up well, and yet he watches it every year.
Watches it. It's just his policy. He watches it no matter what.
And I have to tell you, this year I was especially wigged out with the gusto in which Woodstock ate a turkey dinner. It seemed a little cannibalistic to me that he, as a bird, would be wanting to eat another bird for Thanksgiving. Do you remember when Chuck and the gang, they all get in the car and they go to Grandma's house, and then Snoopy and Woodstock make their own Thanksgiving dinner in the doghouse, and then Woodstock's eating a turkey? Doesn't that kind of skeeve you guys out a little bit? Is this thing on?
Yes!
Shut up.
In line with Bean's
crazy
weird love of fictional animals.
By the way, wait a minute.
What?
Hold on.
What happened?
Hold the boat.
Kevin, what's the matter?
I know what you're going to say. It's movies.
Bean
movies is the problem, not
doesn't
TV.
Doesn't watch animation.
That's correct.
Animated movies.
Movies.
You make the distinction between on TV and on movies?
I do.
And why watch a good animated feature film when he can watch a crappy animated TV special?
That's
Kevin.
Insane.
And I feel safe with my Peanuts crew, too.
Safe
like
with
they
them?
Won't attack you?
But you're scared of those Madagascar penguins?
Exactly. Yes, Ralph. Exactly.
Well, speaking of animals, Justin Bieber. Oh, Justin Bieber. Not a good dog dad. Not a good pet parent, Lisa.
That's
we
terrible.
Knew that when he left.
And yet not surprising.
What animal was it?
He left
monkey?
His monkey in Germany. And haven't we all left a monkey in Germany from time to time?
That's code, yes.
That's usually what I say when I'm going off to use the Toto. I gotta go leave a monkey in Germany. I'll be right back. Trevor DeVernichuk, you know, legendary Canadian dog trainer to the stars.
Sure.
Told the British tabloid The London Sun that Bieber left his puppy with him for training last February, and he hasn't heard from him since.
That's
oh my God.
Terrible.
The dog, Karma.
That's funny.
You know why it's funny? Because Karma's a female dog. Karma's a bitch.
Ah.
Was supposed to stay just a few weeks.
Yeah.
But Bieber hasn't paid for his upkeep, won't return his calls about taking her home, apparently has no interest in picking up the dog.
I get the feeling like he does this a lot.
I do, too. He gives away, like, gerbils and snakes and stuff. I think he believes they're disposable.
Yeah.
What a dumb douchebag.
There's that, too.
Yeah, he shouldn't be allowed to have a pet.
No, he shouldn't. Unless it's beer mug.
Oh, come on!
Because then he could leave him in Germany.
I would eat him.
That's true. Beer mug would turn on him. Eat him.
Take care of a lot of stuff.
Hey, congratulations, Mickey Rourke. Got back in the boxing ring on Friday and won his bout against a much younger opponent in Moscow, Russia. Mickey, who is 62, won the bout by knocking out his 29-year-old opponent.
Bang, bang, bang.
Elliot
bang,
Seymour.
Bang, bang, bang.
That's right. Gave him a couple of shots to the body. Boom, it was all over. That's the kind of power he has. 29-year-old Elliot Seymour is a former California Golden Gloves champion. He's no chump. He's the real deal.
But he took a dive, right?
Yeah, he did.
No, I'm kidding. I was just kidding.
I'm not. Elliot Seymour has told the London Daily Mail newspaper.
No.
I am homeless, and I was paid to throw the fight.
Awesome.
Oh, wow.
Because if you watch any of the video of that fight, no one's hitting anyone.
He trained at the same Hollywood gym as Mickey, and a source close to Seymour's family told the newspaper it was clearly a fixed fight. The whole bouncing off the ropes, hands down, punches were not landing. They were intentionally hitting each other's gloves. Yeah, apparently Elliot is homeless. You can see photos of where he lives, which is a Starbucks.
Wow.
On his Facebook page, where he goes under the name of Elliot Buffalo Soldier. I don't know why, but that's apparently where you can find him if you want to look at his homeless photos on Facebook. How do the homeless update their Facebook pages?
Yeah, I was just wondering that.
I guess you...
go to free Wi-Fi at the library, maybe?
Well, is that Starbucks? They got the Wi-Fi
There you go.
You must have some sort of...
But they don't have computers there, do they?
He must have. Look, he's homeless. He's not laptopless.
Yeah, well... Ralph, what was the point of this whole Mickey Rourke exercise?
He's getting back into the fight game, Bean. It's the sport he loves. It's
Did somebody
passion.
Pay him right, a lot of money to do it,
passion.
Though?
No, it's his passion.
But then why is he paying somebody to take
a
fall?
I don't understand this whole story.
Because he's passionate about winning fights, not losing them.
He's 62.
I know. And if you're 62, you do not want to get beat up. That's the one thing I know about 62-year-olds.
How much pride can you take in a guy that has already said he's going to throw the fight?
All the pride that money can buy. Look, we have more important questions. Like, why do you eat Fritos a half an hour before you're going to get your breakfast delivered to you?
Mean, what was the beer mug's order? What did you order?
Triple-decker tacos?
Three double-decker tacos.
And a Sprite.
That's six decks of taco right there that you're going to be eating.
And by the way, Muggs came in this morning. And he said, guys, I really overdid it over Thanksgiving. I mean, I ate so much the whole 4 days. And then, boom,
so
right to ordering the triple decker.
The beginning of a new day for him.
It was not. He's not going to live to see 25.
I like that you've updated your numbers.
31. You're going the wrong direction. The problem is he won't die fast enough. Either die fast.
Agreed.
Or live better.
Agreed.
But you can't have it both ways. You can't be just a lingering slob to torture us for the rest of your life.
Dude, this is a new level for the Muggs. This is a mess.
This is Nick Cage in Leaving Las Vegas. That's what this is. Just watching a man die.
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthdays. Director Woody Allen is 79 years old today. Jeez, what do you get the Woodman for his birthday? Another stepdaughter? I don't know. What do you got? I'm just saying. What's a guy like that into?
Yeah.
Bette Midler's 69. She's got a brawl now going with Ariana Grande.
Yeah.
I don't know what that's all about. No need to get all uppity, Bette.
She's a bitch.
Sarah Silverman's 44. Actress Emily Mortimer plays Mac on The Newsroom. She's 43. Brad Delson, guitarist for Linkin Park, turns 37. Akiva Schaffer from The Lonely Island. 37 years old. Vance Joy turns 27. Janelle Monáe is 29. And Zoe Kravitz celebrates her 26th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You can win your tickets for the 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas in less than 1 hour at 9 a.m. And, of course, every hour on the hour all day long today on K-Rock up until 5. Andrew, Cecilia, what's happening here? What's going on right now?
What's going on right now?
Oh, no.
Roland?
What's going on right now?
We're doing a radio show here. What are you calling us for?
A pretty poor excuse for a radio show, if you ask me.
Okay.
Because you have not talked about the singular most important news story of this day or any other day.
We're going to talk about the NFL next.
No, it's not NFL. It's not bidets. It's not anything else that you're talking about.
Okay. Well, it's Star Wars. Is that why?
Star Wars!
Right, because the movie comes out in a year?
But the teaser trailer was launched on Friday.
Right, not even the trailer, right? The teaser trailer.
Teaser trailer.
How excited should we be, Roland?
Please don't make that noise. Begging you.
My lightsaber just went off.
I was afraid of that. All right, look, we got a minute. We could talk about the Star Wars. What was your takeaway from the 88 seconds that we got to see?
Set aside about an hour, because here we go.
We don't have an hour, Roland.
Yes, we do have an hour.
All right. Okay.
Started, first of all, with a shot of a desert planet. Is it Tatooine? Do we know?
We don't know. That's why we didn't talk about it.
Is it a new desert planet?
We don't know.
Ah. You're right, we don't. But then suddenly, popping into the frame, stormtrooper without his helmet on. Just any stormtrooper, a black stormtrooper.
That's true. He looks confused. He's looking
around. How happy is Lando Calrissian that finally is another brother out there in space for him?
I guess happy. I guess.
Have a nice, cool malt liquor beverage with.
I hadn't really thought of it, but
finally, another brother
right
in space for Lando. Maybe this is Lando's son. Maybe it's Lando Jr.
Oh, interesting.
Okay. There's a lot of speculation, though. We don't really know anything about this, the Stormtrooper, right?
Maybe this is Brando Calrissian. Okay. Or Dando, Evan Dando Calrissian.
Right, okay, but we don't know.
Ah, we do not know.
Right.
But so we go forward as an adorable little droid that's rolling around.
Right.
What is this cute thing, I wonder? I don't know, but I hate it. I know that much.
Oh, you hate it?
I hate it.
It's a little droid, though.
I don't no cute. No more cute in Star Wars. I don't want Jar Jar. I don't want any more teddy bears. I don't want Wally, whatever this thing is. People out. I don't like it.
So wait, you're already being critical of the trailer for the new Star Wars
film. I cannot stand that new character.
What?
But then, Stormtroopers. We see Stormtroopers.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And they're in a transport vehicle, and then the door opens out, and they go out onto the desert planet. What is that desert planet? Is it Tatooine?
We don't know.
We're going to find out in a year. We don't need to speculate about this.
But then we meet a beautiful young girl riding on top of a giant fudgesicle.
Okay, it looks like a fudgesicle.
It looks like a fudgesicle. She's straddling it.
Right.
Is this the daughter of Han and Leia?
We don't know.
We don't know. Who is the girl?
I don't think anyone knows yet.
But it's like a land speeder crossed with one of those speeder bikes from Endor.
Right. So there are some things in the movie we haven't seen before.
You know what happened? She goes really fast.
Right.
On the desert planet.
Okay. I think we're about out of time for breaking down the trailer.
We see the actor Oscar Isaac in the Rebel Alliance wingsuit. And he's in an X-Wing!
He's what?
He's in an X-Wing!
He's in an X-Wing. Okay.
And then, on a jungle planet, we see a man, a cloaked man. We don't know who. Who is that cloaked man?
We don't know.
I don't think we
know.
He has
one of these!
He does have a lightsaber.
Oh! Lightsaber.
Yeah.
He has.
All right, Yoda.
And it has like a guard at the end of it, unlike any lightsaber we've ever seen. Which looks very dangerous to the person wielding the lightsaber. You can cut your hand off with that thing.
Does seem like you need to be extra careful when you're wielding
that thing. Poorly designed lightsaber. who's wielding the poorly designed lightsaber?
Well, we don't know.
We don't know.
Is it Adam Driver, the new villain of the piece, who perhaps is the rising up again of the Empire?
Again, questions we do not have answers to.
Oh,
I'm
look,
sorry.
It's the Millennium Falcon!
Yep, the Millennium Falcon was in there. That was exciting.
Oh, it sure flies.
Yep.
Now, Roland, are you disappointed that there's no Han Solo, there's no Luke Skywalker, there's no Princess Leia? Were you expecting some of that in this first trailer?
I was happy to see Evan Dando Calrissian, personally.
Okay, we don't know that that's his name at all, and it's probably not.
It should be his name if it isn't. The Lemonhead fans would be so happy.
How many times, nice Lemonheads reference, by the way, Roland.
You're very welcome.
How many times have you watched the Star Wars trailer since it debuted online Friday?
I have not stopped watching it yet.
Just out of loop.
You called it a trailer, Bean. You mean the teaser.
The teaser trailer, sorry. Yes, exactly.
It's everything we need to know right there in 88 beautiful, precious seconds.
Roland, if you were a bigger Star Wars fan, you'd already be in line right now to see the movie.
Oh, how do you know I'm not?
That's a good point.
That is a good point.
Are you? Not, I'm not, but I got to go.
Okay. He is the co-host of Around the NFL on the NFL Network, Monday through Fridays at 3, and DirecTV's Red Zone channel on Sundays. He is our own Johnny Red Zone, Andrew Siciliano, joins us Monday mornings on the Kevin and Bean Show on KROQ. Hey, Andrew, welcome, sir.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Very good, thank you. You don't sound so good. You all right?
I'm in bed. I'm kind of sick, but we're fighting through it. We're good.
All right. Well, we appreciate you coming on. We got so much we got to talk about, and I want to start with kind of the biggest NFL story off the field over the weekend, and that was Ray Rice appealing his suspension and winning. What's likely to happen to Ray Rice?
Well, I mean, it's very simple. He can now apply for work and be hired anywhere he wants to. Any team can hire him. There are 32 teams. I assume he's not going back to the Ravens. The other 31 teams could bring him in and sign him whenever they want to. There is no need of league approval. That letter has already gone out on Friday saying, we lost. You are free to sign in.
Do you think someone will?
It wouldn't shock me, but I would be mildly surprised. You know, look at a team like Arizona. They lost again yesterday. They badly need a running back.
Yep.
I thought Denver a couple of weeks ago. Denver seems to be fine with C.J. Anderson. There was a rumor of the Saints. Sean Payton came out after the game and said emphatically yesterday they are not going to sign him. Maybe Indianapolis. His the head coach there, Chuck Pagano, used to be an assistant in Baltimore, so they know each other from there. They badly need a running back.
The NFL, though, is trying to make a serious push to get people believe that they're taking domestic violence seriously. Don't you think that they hope nobody re-signs him?
Well, what they hope and what they do are totally different issues. If they call the other 31 teams and say, don't sign him, then they have another major legal issue, and I highly doubt that they would do that. He will get another job, whether it's this year or whether it's a job in training camp next year where he then has to make the team is another issue. And let's say this, too, about Ray Rice, and I'm not trying to sandbag the guy. He had his day in court, and he won. You know, he's going to be 28 in a couple of weeks, which is, you know, near the end of shelf life, sadly, believe it or not, for running backs. And when last we saw him on the football field last year, he was averaging 3.1 yards a carry, which is really, really bad.
Right. So you got to ask yourself, is it worth the hassle to get a guy who we're not going to get much out of anyway?
Well, I mean, you may or you may not. And the other thing, he hasn't played or practiced all year. Some would see that as a positive, that he hasn't been hit, he's fresh. Others would see that as a negative and that he's amazingly rusty and would take him a while to get up to speed.
Gotcha. All right, well, keep an eye on that. And I had one other non-football question for you, Andrew, and I'm just now starting to see the reaction, the negative reaction to those players for the St. Louis Rams that made that surprise entrance into the stadium yesterday with the hands up, don't shoot me posture, making a political statement about what's going on in Ferguson. How will the league react to that?
No idea. The league has yet to react to it, and the team has yet to react to it. I know the team yesterday had 50 people from Ferguson, people that lost their businesses. You know, the team has done a very, very good job at helping and giving back to the community. In the summer when Michael Brown was initially shot and then Ferguson was in flames, the Rams brought a bunch of Ferguson high school kids into their facility. Say, hey, you guys, schools are out. Your schools are closed, rather. Come here, practice in our building. The Rams have gone out of their way to be a good member of the community here. And this is a personal statement by the players. It's a sticky situation, certainly. Especially
when it's done on the field. I mean, that's what it's not just like these players were speaking out in their off time. I mean, they were kind of making a statement representing the team in the league.
Correct. But I would say this, too. For fans that may not like it, and there are plenty of fans who are well within the right to not like what those players did, we, for years, we meaning everyone, have ripped athletes, Michael Jordan most notably, for not making political statements, for not taking a social stand on issues. Michael Jordan was ripped for years and years and years and years for never commenting nor caring about Nike and alleged sweatshops in Asia. Well, now you have players that are willing to make a stand, and for those who don't like it, you know, well, you know, don't rip players when they keep their mouth shut either.
Gotcha. All right, let's talk about some football. Don't you wish last night's Patriots-Packers game had been the Super Bowl? Wasn't it that great a game?
Well, I mean, some people were calling it Super Bowl 48.5. What's amazing is that those two quarterbacks had never met before. There had been one other game where they could have played, but Rodgers was banged up. I believe he had a concussion a couple of years ago, and he couldn't play. And there's another chance here, a very good chance, that the way the schedule falls, you will not see Brady and Rodgers play again unless they are in a Super Bowl.
Wow. Wow. How funny was it to see Tom Brady pacing in that last 2 minutes, screaming the F word at the top of his lungs?
Well, there are two lasting images of Brady in that game, who, by the way, played a pretty darn good game. Although
he did.
Now, he was off mark a lot. And give the Packers credit offensively and defensively. The two lasting images are the bombs he was dropping, let's put it that way, at the end of the game. Caught on camera. And then there's the one image earlier in the third quarter where he was warming up on the sideline, and one of the team's trainers had, I mean, it looked like one of those TRX things, if anyone's been to the gym or physical therapy, where you have around your waist and the guy is pulling you.
Right.
But it looked like Tom Brady was on a leash. And so that went around the internet in about 5 seconds. Tom Brady on a leash, the Giselle jokes, you go, whatever, Belichick pulling the leash, whatever you want to say. Those are the two lasting images. But at the end, it was Aaron Rodgers who made the last play. They got the first down. Randall Cobb caught that ball when it looked like all was lost. And then the Packers won. And let me say this. Nobody, repeat nobody, including Drew Stanton and the Cardinals, are going into Lambeau Field in January and beating the Packers. If they get home field, which looks very realistic now, no one is going to beat them. They are going to the Super Bowl.
Well, hold on. Raiders.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
unless the Raiders get there too.
How does 52-0 rank in the history of the worst ever NFL losses, Andrew, if you know?
I do not know off the top of my head, but I will say this. It was the first time the Rams have scored 50, and they have certainly hit hard times. Since Kurt Warner, Marshall Faulk, that whole crew did it, I believe, in 02 when they scored 57 on the Chargers. The score 50 is one thing. You know, we've seen a lot of high-scoring teams score 50 this year or more than
sure.
a few. But to shut the other team out.
That was rough.
I mean.
There's no mercy rule in the NFL, right?
No, there is none. Although there were the reporters in the press box there I was following on Twitter were commenting at halftime that they were trying to get the league and the team to have a running clock in the second half. Because I think it was 38-0 at the half.
Yeah.
And the Rams kind of took their foot off the gas. It says this about the Raiders. And remember, they had extra time to prepare for this game. Because they last played on a Thursday.
Right,
that's right.
They do not know how to handle success. They won that one game, and then 10 days later, gave up 52.
Couldn't have looked any worse.
And scored zero.
Well, I know we're almost out of time here. This is such – I mean, you talked about the you know, the path for the Green Bay Packers and the home field advantage. This is where the season – like, it's not already exciting enough when you start to see the way the final few weeks play out. Like my Seahawks, for instance, I mean, you know, you hate the expression control your own destiny, but, I mean, they can win out and have home field, for instance. And that's how close we're getting to the end of the season now is every game is just so, so critical. It's so much fun, Andrew.
Yeah, they're right back in it. The Seahawks won. Obviously, they beat up on the Niners, and the Cardinals lost. So now the Cardinals or the Seahawks, because they play each other, if they win out, the Seahawks or the Cardinals, whichever one wins out, wins the division. And plus, guys, if you want excitement, if you had to ask me to make a bet right now, and of course I do not bet, Johnny Manziel will start this week for the Browns.
Is that right?
Colts.
Pretty.
That was just a gut feeling. Right.
That was a pretty exciting rush for touchdown when he got in that game yesterday, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. He missed a wide-open receiver, too, on that play also.
Well, you take the good with the bad.
Yeah,
all right, listen, feel better, Andrew. Thanks so much for taking the time. We'll look for you on the TV this afternoon around the NFL at 3 on the NFL Network and, of course, Sundays on the DirecTV Red Zone. You're the best, man. We really appreciate it.
Love you guys.
Thank you.
Now the time has come around. The time is here again. Wanna be Miss Double D? Here's how you're going to win. Holding A's, B's, or C's will get you in the game. It's those juicy Double D's that will bring you Hall of Fame. Gotta show us what you got. And really, Andrew, please, gotta strut out and bust out those delicious Double D's and bring your suit down in talent. The best we've ever seen. And then you'll win the crown for Kevin and Beans, Miss Double D, 2015. And fire beer mug.
Hello, Lisa.
Wow, he covered a lot of ground there. Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Double D, we have a winner. Adriana joins us in studio right now on the Kevin Beans Show.
Not yet.
Give her the crown. Hi, Adriana. Welcome to the Kevin Beans Show. How are you?
Hi, good morning. I'm good.
Nice to see you. What's this in your hand that you brought in with you this morning?
It's a chocolate cake. It says, I love Kevin and Bean.
All right, who told you that bribery was allowed? Because it is. I just want to find out who told you it was.
We want to make sure the mechanism is in place.
I heard Kevin loves chocolate,
I
so.
I do, just a little bit.
And which supermarket did you go by on your way in this morning to buy that cake?
I made it myself.
What?
Yes, I
she
made it myself.
She bakes too? Is there nothing this woman can't do? All right, let's meet Adriana. She is one of the contestants, one of the finalists to be Miss Double December 2015. You can see her pictures and interview at KROQ.com right now. If you want to cast your vote, you can go once a day and vote for the lady of your choice, and we crown the winner this Friday. How did you hear about the competition?
Well, I heard about it a long time ago, but I was on my way to work one day. I was listening to you guys, and you guys mentioned something about Miss Double December. I went to work, did my little research online, and I just decided to do it. I usually don't do things like this. This is way out of my element. But yeah, I just wanted to try something new. Sounded fun, so here I am.
You graduated from Whittier College with a degree in chemistry.
Yes, I did.
Wow.
Now, do you think that might make you too smart for us?
No.
Because we're not very...
You're going to be very bored having a conversation with us, Adriana. Seriously.
Ew, smart people can be funny, too.
No, why? We're not worried about you. We're worried about you hanging out with us because of our skills.
Why were you a chemistry major? I'm fascinated by that. Like, what career did you have in mind when you decided to be a chemistry major? Or did you not choose it because of a career? You just chose it because that was just something you were interested in.
Well, I wanted to do research. I want to work in the medical field someday. And I really enjoyed it in high school, and I just decided to stick with it.
So it's just something you like.
So, yeah.
And how did that work out for you? Were you able to find something to use your degree?
Not yet. Okay. I'm still taking classes. I'm trying to get into a nursing program. So.
Wow, you're all over the place.
If you could have one superpower, what would it be and why? Healing to help ease the pain of others and help others. I feel like we could corrupt you.
I feel like you right? don't understand what superpowers are supposed to be used for.
I get this really nice feeling when I help people. Like I said, I want to get a career in the medical field, so having to help people.
You're so sweet. See? We don't want to corrupt this nice lady, Kevin.
I feel bad. Except for then it comes to what your skill is. Uh-huh. Now, your skill is what?
Stand-up.
Your talent, you mean?
Talent, yeah.
Stand-up comedy.
That's now, a new one for us.
Did our producer Dave try and talk you out of that?
No.
He didn't.
No, he didn't.
He told us he did. Interesting.
Adriana, you've never been to the Miss Double December pageant, but you understand that we're at the Slide Bar in Fullerton, and we will be again this Friday. If you want to come on down, please bring a new unwrapped toy as your price of admission. The Marines will be there. It's our annual Toys for Tatas campaign. But it's basically us up on stage. How many people would you say out in front watching the show, Kevin?
I don't know.
A couple thousand?
Maybe.
And they're there just to see boobs. That's it. They have very little tolerance for anything other than boobs, and they've been drinking since 6 a.m. when it became legal. That's the crowd that you want to face with stand-up comedy?
Yes.
She said yes to that question.
Yes, I'm determined to do it. Yes. It's been something on my bucket list, so I'm ready to cross it out. So,
How have you practiced for that? Or do you have any kind of experience at all doing stand-up?
I've done a couple open mics in the past week.
How'd that go?
In the past week.
All right, well. Wait, you did it in the past week just in preparation for this?
Yes, I was.
And how'd it go?
It was interesting. It was actually a lot of fun. It was a first time for me, but I think I can get the hang of it. I think I can do it.
You've got balls. I mean, not literal, but that's crazy to think.
I'm looking at some of these bikini pictures. I don't think she does.
No, I mean guts. Guts, yeah. Yes.
You are a fascinating person. Wow, you have a lot of interesting things about you. Why do you want to be Miss Double December? You decided to enter, but we didn't find out why. What was it about it that appealed to you, Adriana?
Well, when I was thinking about life and the next few things I wanted to do in life, I figured I wanted to be remembered in a really nice, you know, fun way.
Okay.
And I would like my tombstone to someday say that I was a loving wife, loving sister, loving grandma, hopefully, and, of course, Miss Double December 2015.
All right. USA. Right?
I don't like to think about any of our contestants dead, but okay. We're planning way into the future here. All right, so Friday morning, we are going to see you again, and you're going to be working your way through the pageant, and we can't wait to see your stand-up. Anything else you want us to know about you before we take in the other room and shoot some video for the website?
Make sure you guys go to K-Rock and vote for me. I'm not your typical Miss Double December. I have beauty, brains, and laughs for all of you. So,
and baked goods.
And baked goods.
And baked goods indeed. Well, thank you so much for coming in. So nice to meet you. We'll see you Friday.
Okay.
And now, a moment with Bean.
That last 4 minutes of yesterday's game did pretty much save the season for the Seacocks.
Oh, no! A moment with Bean. That's not their name at all.
I thought it was Seahawks.
No.
Huh. I think it is. I'm pretty sure it is.
No.
Wow. Who knew? Hey, Kevin Fails with Technology coming up after the top of the hour, and your tickets for the 25th annual K-Rock Almost Goes to Christmas also. Plus, Ralph's got the showbiz beat now on K-Rock.
I don't know if it's technology. It's just plumbing, really. it's just water. He fails at something that just, the ancient Romans conquered.
You could just end the sentence, it fails.
That's true.
You don't really need to.
Well, maybe I should be our new singer.
Add anything.
Kevin fails! And then we can just fill in the blank with whatever it is this week. Strawberry ice cream. Kevin fails! Samurai swords. Kevin fails! Remember time your daughters are playing with your samurai swords, Kevin?
No.
Those were good times.
How they were not taken away from you at an early age is still a mystery to me.
And survived to adulthood.
Yeah. Now they can school him, which they do on a regular basis.
Please.
How many times do they look at you and go, oh, Dad? How many times do they look at you and just do that?
A week or a day?
A day.
About six.
It's Monday. That means we look at the top 10 movies at the box office. No surprise. Once again, the latest Hunger Games sequel, Mockingjay Part 1, topped the holiday box office with another $57 million. $82 million for the five-day weekend, if you want to count in Thursday and Friday. The animated Penguins of Madagascar debuted in second place, while the debut of Horrible Bosses 2 only made it into fifth place. Does that surprise anyone?
I went to that.
Of course you did. Of course you did.
It was it was a bad movie with a lot of funny moments. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Bad movie, but you laugh out loud a lot, but then you walk away and go, not so good.
I rarely laugh out loud at bad movies.
Yeah.
I usually sit there and go.
But Jason Bateman, I love.
I just go, I just do that at
the screen.
Yeah, I do.
That sounds like the definition of wait for cable, Kevin.
Yeah, I can see that.
Anyway, not a lot of people were eager to see the second installment of the Horrible Bosses franchise. Only made $15.7 million. Then Dumb and Dumber 2, The Theory of Everything, Gone Girl, Birdman, and St. Vincent rounded out the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. You know, David Letterman.
I do. He's a late night talk show host on CBS.
He's leaving his slot over there at CBS, doing his late night show. James Corden, the very funny British actor and comedian, will take over as the host of the Late Late Show on Monday, March the 9th. Here's the thing. David Letterman retires on December the 19th.
Interesting.
Right, exactly. If you're CBS, what do? Well, you book a bunch of guest hosts to fill in between. Here's what's going to happen. Drew Carey scheduled for 2 weeks, January 5th through 9th, and then March 2nd through 6th. Then it all goes downhill. CBS has announced they're planning to run a special late-night edition of The Talk. With Julie Chen, Sarah Gilbert, Sharon Osbourne, Aisha Tyler, and Cheryl Underwood.
They're doing another show that night, or they're just replaying the one from the...
I think they're doing a special late-night show for a week. For a week to fill in that slot.
It's not good for New York. It's not good for America, and it's not good for the entire world. And so, CBS, shame on you. Shame on you, CBS.
Late night talk. We don't need that.
No, we don't.
As long as they don't follow with late night chew. That's my least favorite TV show ever.
Chew.
God, I hate that show.
And the floss. I like the floss that comes on after the chew. Then the rinse.
Have you watched 5 minutes of The Chew?
Of course I haven't.
Who's on The Chew, Kevin? Which one is that?
I don't know who's on The Chew, but it's all about making food. And they have a crowd that goes crazy. They must be just hopped up on meth. Because they go, all right, we're going to come back and we're going to taste it. Like, not even the audience. The hosts are going to taste it. Everybody goes, whoa!
We get to watch you eat. What's going on?
It's like the
Oprah show where we all want a car. We get to watch you eat food.
They're so excited. It's absurd.
You know, I can tell Beer Mug's busy on the internet.
He's looking.
A giant error sign just came up on my screen. That's how I know he's looking for something.
He's looking for The Chew is what he's looking for because he wants to watch people eat food.
So,
that show sucks.
Other names have been bandied about, people who will sit in as guest hosts of the Late Late Show. Judd Apatow.
Oh, interesting.
Singer John Mayer. Will Arnett. Wayne Brady. Jim Gaffigan. Billy Gardell. Sean Hayes. Thomas Lennon. And Kunal Nair.
Rodney on the Rock.
And Rodney on the Rock, of
course. Would be my favorite.
Well, I want him to take over as the host of that show forever. Can you
Will
imagine?
Will Glenda be there?
The Rodney on the Rock talk show. Can you
By
imagine?
By the way, speaking of the talk and people who shouldn't be on TV anymore.
And The Chew.
Kevin, are you Anarchy Afterward tomorrow?
Hey, what the what?
I am tomorrow night, yeah.
Is that happening?
Yeah.
Don't bury the lead, son!
Well, I don't know if that's a lead.
Oh, come on, Kevin. Great. I know you can do it. I know you can come through in the way we've been expecting you to.
After Sons of Anarchy,
you were so completely confident last time, I can't tell you how disappointed I was.
What are we may need to carve out some time tomorrow to talk about this in depth. But what are you planning to make any changes, or is your left arm still nailed to the table?
I got so many tweets. It's such a shame that they glued your left arm in that one place because I was so scared I didn't move.
It looked awfully uncomfortable.
I was so scared.
What time do they deliver the trank dart to you before you go on TV? Have we just discussed that at all?
So that was really amazing, that scene you did. How did you feel when you were shooting that?
I didn't want to ruin it. I was
trank
afraid.
Trank dart, Kevin!
Well, we're very excited about tomorrow night.
Right after Sons of Anarchy.
This is the greatest show on television. I would like to know how to do... Let's go take some tweets, shall we?
I was cellulating myself right at that moment. Ralph.
Kevin's like an NPR announcer.
Who I hate.
Hey, we have a special guest on. Jimmy Smits, you're a great actor, and you do those. You do
exactly
that scene
what it was.
When you're talking on the phone for that 3 minutes, your face. There's so much going on in your face. How did you feel when you're all doing that? Huh?
I'd like to argue, but I don't think I can.
Kevin Ryder's Perry Como in Sons of Anarchy.
Anarchy afterwards.
All right.
We need to take a break. We will catch up with Theo later, and we'll have some more guests, some special guests, when we come back.
Some more guests, some special guests, when we come back right here. You're listening on 97.3 NPR Public Radio.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Singer, actress, legend, Kevin's favorite, Bette Midler. Maybe Bette Midler will be a special guest on the show tomorrow night for Kevin. 69 years old today. Director Woody Allen is 79. Comedian Sarah Silverman, 44 years old. Today, Emily Mortimer. Mackenzie on The Newsroom, 43 years old. Brad Delson from Linkin Park, he is 37. Akiva Schaffer from Lonely Island, also 37. Vance Joyce, 27. Janelle Monáe, 29 years old. And Zoe Kravitz celebrates her 26th birthday. That bell's going to work out today.
It is.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I am pretty sad that Dave Grohl's Sonic Highways is getting ready to end. There's only one episode left this Friday night.
Pretty sad is not a thing, Bean.
It is a thing.
It's a Bean thing.
It's a Bean thing.
I'm looking forward to this Friday night's episode, but I am also pretty sad that when I wake up on Saturday, there won't be any more Sonic Highways. It's going to be over.
You know there's going to be a day after Christmas, too. You know that, right?
Hey, man. Don't try to hurt me intentionally. Right. I think New York City is the city that they're saving for last. But for folks who haven't been watching, it's been a great show that's been on HBO where Dave Grohl recorded songs for the new album, also called Sonic Highways, in different cities around the country. And he met with musicians and people that had influenced him from that city and kind of wrote the song and recorded it over the course of a week. And it's just been fascinating. Kevin, I remember us talking about this at the beginning, and you were like, this is a perfect show for me because I don't know some of these musicians or some of the history of some of these cities. Have you enjoyed it? Has it been fun for you to watch some of this stuff unfold?
I have. Sometimes it's too much other musicians and not enough Foo Fighters for me.
Yeah.
Right. Because I love Foo Fighters.
Dave is very generous with the spotlight on this show,
yes,
that's for sure.
And I don't know and don't even care about a lot of them, but he has a way of, you know, telling a story.
Yeah, his enthusiasm is definitely contagious.
Right.
So he did Seattle. The most recent episode was Seattle. And it was really interesting because, you know, Dave was not the original drummer for Nirvana. I mean, he was about fifth or something like that. So when he talked about on the show, when he moved to Seattle, he had only ever been there one time before, 3 months before. And he moved there to move in with Kurt and Chris in Nirvana, living with these guys he barely knew in a city he'd never been to before. And that was the beginning of the Nirvana that we all came to know and love. And it was just fascinating to, you know, because he's been a little bit stingy over the years with talking about Nirvana.
He tries to avoid the topic.
Kind of plays it down a little bit, right? Well, he wanted Foo Fighters to stand on their own, and I think maybe now he's comfortable enough with how much he's kind of proven himself in Foo Fighters since then, and, you know, 20-plus years have passed. Now he's maybe a little bit more comfortable talking about it. But obviously they had to deal with one of the, you know, modern tragedies for rock lovers in our lifetime, and that's the death of Kurt Cobain back in 1994. And I'd never seen Dave talk about it before. And he's doing the interviews on this Sonic Highway show, and the first person he talks to is Ben Gibbard from Death Cab for Cutie about that morning in April.
How do you think it affected the city?
Well, it's, you know, even just you saying it kind of gets me choked up. It's like, I mean, I was 17, and I remember, like, you know, I remember, like, my mom coming into my room in the morning and being like, you know, honey, Kurt Cobain just died. And I just lost it, you know? I lost it. And it was like, I have to go to f***ing school now?
Everybody that he talked to in this show, by the way, it was still so emotional. 20 years later, it's still difficult for people to talk about what a shock that was and what a loss that was. Duff McKagan from Velvet Revolver and Guns N' Roses also interviewed about the death of Kurt.
I never called you guys, you know, after that happened. And I was kind of on, maybe one of the last people to see him, you know, and I wrote a column about it, you know, where I apologize for not calling you, that you lost your friend, you know. You know, rock band stuff all aside, we know about rock bands, but you got your friends, you know, and so I just want to say that. Sorry I didn't call you.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
A little late to the party to say sorry about your friend, by the way.
This is not a party episode either,
no,
is it?
No. Well, again, I mean, a lot of it is joyous, but there's that one thing that they had to talk about. Now, I've never, as much as I love Dave Grohl, as many times we've had him on the show, I've never heard him talk about the days and weeks after Kurt Cobain's suicide. Have you?
I don't think so, no.
After Kurt died, I didn't know what I was going to do. I spent a lot of time doing nothing. No radio, no TV, nothing. I just couldn't stand the sound of music. I was scared of music. I remember being in Ireland, driving around the country, away from everything. Just rocks and moss and sheep and being totally disconnected from the rest of the world. And I drove past this kid who was hitchhiking. And he had a f***ing Kurt Cobain shirt on.
Oh.
And I saw that and I thought, look, I gotta do something quick. And then I realized that music was the one thing that was going to help me out of that place. So I started writing again. Starting from scratch.
Dave, by the way, had already started writing the songs that became the first Foo Fighters album while he was still in Nirvana, and he played some of those demos for Kurt Cobain. He doesn't explain why Kurt was in the bath at the time, but Kurt apparently Kurt liked the music so much he kissed Dave on the mouth, Dave said in this interview that aired on Friday, which I thought was funny.
Were all these interviews done on a CB radio?
Sounds that way. Why do you ask?
I don't know. A lot of buzz, a lot of hiss, a lot of noise.
I can't help you there.
All right.
Here's briefly the guy who runs the studio where a lot of the early Foo Fighters stuff was recorded.
Pretty much the next thing we did was come in here to big studio and record all this stuff on a 24-track. We went and printed up the 100 cassettes that we basically handed out.
And that's the beginning of the Foo Fighters.
Remember,
I knew that everyone only knew me as the drummer in Nirvana. But I felt like I had nothing left to lose.
And I would say it worked out pretty well for Dave, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I remember the first time we heard that, don't you? Where the drummer for Nirvana is going to put together a band.
Right.
He's going to sing.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Well, one of the fascinating things is this studio where they did a lot of the shooting for the Seattle episode of Sonic Highways, there were dozens and dozens of demos of songs that Dave Grohl had written and recorded back in the day, a lot of which he didn't even remember before. They were playing him stuff that he had no memory of whatsoever, and it's all there in the vaults. But one of the songs that has gotten a release as a result of going through the archives is a new Foo Fighters song. I say new. It's new to us, but apparently it's 20 years old, and we thought you might like to hear a little piece of this. We had not heard this before. This is a song just unveiled from Foo Fighters called Hooker.
James Brown there with Hooker on the Street.
It sounds to me like he'd been listening with little Red Hot Chili Peppers when he came up with that one. But anyway, Sonic Highways, great, great show. You should go back and catch it if you haven't been watching. One final episode here is going to be the spotlight on New York City. It's going to be this Friday night on HBO.
106.7 K-Rock, K-R-O-Q.
It's time once again for the Rodney on the Rock show.
No.
And just heard something brand new. It's a band called Them Guns.
Nope. The Linkin Park.
And it's called Horoscope. That's actually Priscilla Presley's son. Navarone is his name. What? Got the name
Navarone
of his band from the movie Guns of Navarone. Them Guns.
You dope.
And, and that was called Horoscope.
That's what I've done.
And they just did San Diego and they're touring around. San Diego? And they just played over at the Viper Room on Friday, and tons of people were there, including Priscilla Presley's parents.
Her parents?
Priscilla Presley's Rally parents
Kello,
were there?
Kello, Rally Keo.
What?
And Jerry Shinnig.
What?
Harvey Kubernick, Kara.
Wait a minute, Harvey Kubernick?
Fowley, Kim Fowley's new wife, and Elliot Kendall.
He's just listing people now.
Jerry Schilling, who was, you know, Elvis Presley's main guy.
Right.
Main bodyguard and from the Memphis Mafia.
Yeah, okay.
And they were all there to see Them Guns.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing.
Pretty amazing indeed. All right.
Navarone? Was Navarone there? Update. Rally Keo, by the way, is Priscilla Presley's granddaughter. Not her parent.
Yes, he's very confused by the genealogy of the Presley family.
He needs a chart and a tree and a Percocet.
I think Rally Keo is Priscilla Presley's daughter, isn't she? And Navarone must be her brother, who's in the band. Is how I'm doing the math.
I don't know what the truth is, but I know that Rodney doesn't have it.
Yes, that is true.
It's just not true.
He definitely was confused by what was happening there, as am I. So there's that update, guys. That happened.
All right.
Wow. Speaking of confusion, remember I told you that they were going to do the late night talk? The talk was going to be on late night to fill in for David Letterman once he retires?
Yep.
We use a service here that provides us all the information.
Again.
And I should really have known better. I should have spotted this right away, the mistake that they wrote here. I should have known better. But they're not talking about Letterman's retirement. They're talking about Craig Ferguson's retirement. This is for the Late Late Show. The show after David Letterman.
See.
That's when we're going to have all those guests. We'll be the guest hosts of that show, and also the late night, the talk, will also be featured. So I just wanted to correct that for people who.
That's a minor distinction, but it's still these people in late night on CBS.
Yes, it's
right?
Just a little bit later than I initially had said. It's the Craig Ferguson show, not the Letterman show that they're filling in for at the end of this year, beginning of next. So. That is clarified now, and everyone should just be able to go about their day.
Did you get a lot of response from that?
Few people. Couple.
Got a lot of sharpshooters out there, right?
There are people who like things to be correct.
I support that.
I know you do. I know those are your people.
I support the strongly worded letter as well.
I know you do.
Sure.
And Bean likes to be corrected. He's the one who likes when people go out of their way to correct him when
I hate being wrong.
When he has been mistaken. I am not one of those people. If I F something up, just let it slide, folks, because you don't care that much, and I don't care that much, and we're all just here to have a good time. So if we have a couple chuckles, then we're ahead of the game, so you can just let the facts and figures fall where they may. I like to play fast and loose with the facts.
Okay?
All right?
As long as that's the understanding going in.
Now we know.
Could be
now
true, might not
who,
be.
And what's what?
Do your own research.
We have to start doing things that just make us look like we've got our act together here, because we're all looking just really, really, really sloppy.
Right.
And now Dave just ruined my day with that little note. Yeah, now I'm ruined.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm done.
Don't read that. Don't read that, Jim Rome.
Hey, I got something to give away, though, to make us all feel better. How about some passes to see The Hobbit, The Battle of the Five Armies?
Yeah!
Looks awesome.
This is yet another Middle Earth movie brought to you by Peter Jackson. This is the 14th. It's the 14th.
Is it 14?
All
right, 14th it is then.
14th film in the series.
And they're all 3 hours long.
They are. And this one now is available for your viewing pleasure on December the 9th at the Dolby Theater. Not just a screening, mind you. The premiere. Of The Hobbit, The Battle of the Five Armies. Martin Freeman, of course, who stars as Bilbo Baggins. Will be there Ian McKellen, Richard Armitage, just an amazing cast in The Hobbit, The Battle of the Five Armies.
Any word if they're going to perform this?
In the middle of the earth, in the land of Shire, lives a brave little hobbit whom we all admire with his long.
pipe, fuzzy ribby toes. He lives in a hobbit hole and everybody knows him. Bilbo, Bilbo Baggins. He's only 3 feet tall. He's Bilbo, Bilbo Baggins. The bravest little hobbit of them all.
I hope Leonard Nimoy is there to sing that live for everyone.
That is Leonard Nimoy.
It sure is. If you want to go, call me now. 1-800-520-1067. First five callers who get through with that number will get a pair of passes to the premiere of The Hobbit, The Battle of the Five Armies. And if you don't win, well, I'll be giving them out all week long, so tune in. But if you don't win, don't feel bad, because the movie's in theaters everywhere on December the 17th. You can check it out.
So get ready for that Macy's Day Parade.
No, that was Thanksgiving.
This past Thursday.
That was on, Thanksgiving. Speaking of the Macy's Day Parade on Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Something for everybody this year. They had, first of all, very exciting first year for a brand new balloon, Thomas the Tank Engine. I don't know if you caught that. That was very impressive.
I don't watch that parade as parades blow.
It's a giant tank engine in the sky, Kevin.
But that seems late to the party to have Thomas the Tank Engine now. Wasn't that popular like 20 years ago?
The character is approximately 70 years old, Bean, if that's what you mean.
It seems just weird that they're getting around to it now.
Well, you have to earn your way to get a balloon in the parade. You know, they don't just give it out to anybody, you know. You know all how
things are these days.
You know how things are these days, right?
Sure.
So that was exciting for me. Taylor Swift was performing in the CBS Theater, the Ed Sullivan Theater there.
Yeah.
So they wouldn't show any of her singing on the NBC broadcast, which I thought was very nice of them. And I was very excited by that.
Wow, that's a great decision.
Yes. I think CBS had their own coverage.
It's a great decision.
They had their own
but no one watched that version, because what you want to see is Al Roker. You're there to watch Al Roker narrate the parade for you.
I'm not sure I am.
Like when Kiss showed up on a flatbed truck, lip-syncing to I Want to Rock and Roll All Night and Party Every Day. With, like, a sparkler and a firecracker going off as
low-tech?
As their pyrotechnic show. And then when they were done lip-syncing, oh, boy, did that formerly fat weatherman have praise for them.
Oh, man! That is one for the ages! Oh, my gosh! It's also in the book celebrating their 40th anniversary. Kiss just rocking 34th Street and rolled into the 88th edition of America's Holiday Break. We are not worthy! We are not worthy!
You started doing the bow down Wayne and Garth, Wayne's World, We Are Not Worthy bit.
Who knew Al Roker was such a big Kiss fan, by the way?
It's one for the ages. They just lip sync to a song that they recorded 40 years ago. They have rocked 34th Street and have rolled into the 88th edition of this parade.
Just in time for Thanksgiving.
I was just hoping that Al pooped his pants. That's all.
I pooped my pants.
Well,
he did.
It all worked out.
He did. That's good news.
Unbelievable.
The day John Kennedy died, and we missed John F. Kennedy.
We do.
What would have happened if Kennedy was running for the next president?
Sorry, for what happened?
He didn't get shot.
What?
I bet he would have the Beatles playing in the White House.
You think he would?
What?
If he was running for the next president?
What's happening? Aren't the Beatles still dead?
He's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, congratulations to Snooki. She got married over the weekend. She finally walked down the aisle to her baby daddy.
Somebody married Snooki.
Gianni. They've got, what do they got? Seven kids now? Two kids?
I think two.
Four kids? Yeah, two kids. A 2-year-old son and a 3-month-old daughter. The theme of the wedding? The Great Gatsby. Because what says Gatsby in class more than Snooki and her Guido boyfriend?
Ooh.
And while we're talking about classy, this Bill Cosby story, boy, is he a champ. Is he a special, special person? He's got a daughter, if you believe Autumn Jackson. That's her name. She has come public several times and said that Bill is actually her father. Now, Autumn's mother, Sean Brown, told the London Daily Mail that the daughter, Autumn, was a product of him drugging and raping her. She is now 62 years old, Sean Brown is, and she said things headed south after Bill Cosby raped her. Here's the weird thing is, though, she said, told him that she was willing to sleep with him. But apparently he preferred to drug her and then take advantage of her when she was unconscious.
Let me ask this question, because I am not a legal expert. If all of these people are lying, can't he sue them for libel?
I would, again, think so. I'm not a legal expert.
But he's not?
But I think he'd have to prove, though, that they were lying.
Right.
How do you prove something that happened 30 years ago in a hotel room?
Well, don't they have to prove that they...
That's one reason why they're not suing him. I think it's a he said, she said situation.
Okay. So, anyway, once she became pregnant and had the baby, Bill Cosby convinced her to put her former boyfriend's last name on the birth certificate, being Jackson. Hence, Autumn Jackson was a young girl who was raised with money from Cosby, this Sean Brown claims, sent her checks of $750 every 2 weeks via FedEx to support the young girl, paid her college tuition, and in a very creepy thing, said she kept a picture of her, he kept a picture of her on the set of the Cosby Show in one of the frames there in the Huxtable house so that Autumn could see herself on television.
Wow.
When Autumn was 22 years old, she contacted Cosby and asked for $40 million to keep her mouth shut about him being her real father. That's when he cut the family off, according to Sean Brown, and she hasn't heard from him since. But her story's out there now. So,
While you were out last week, I don't have it in front of me, Ralph, but there was a story that came out of a guy who apparently for some time worked for Mr. Cosby. And his job was to send all these checks out. It sounded like a full-time job just taking care of all of these women and putting them up in apartments and paying for this and paying for that and shutting this one up and squeezing that source out. I mean, it was just incredible the juggling this guy was doing.
He was on staff at the studios there where they filmed the Cosby Show in New York. And as an assistant to Cosby, his job was largely to mail out the money to the women. And Cosby would demand that he put his name on the – he would only pay with
Money orders. Right.
And this guy would have to put his name on the money order so there would be no paper trail going back to Cosby when he sent the money out to these many women apparently he was paying off for silence.
It's kind of a miracle that it went unreported as long as it did.
It sure is surprising. And you're going to be surprised when the Wall Street Journal claims that Cosby has slipped down the list of most trusted celebrities.
What?
Yes. At one point, he was third on the list of the top 10 most trusted celebrities in America. He has fallen from number 3 to 2,615th.
Creeper.
Is there only 206,015?
No, he's...
so there's people below him.
He is just ahead of Manti...
Teo.
Oh, Lindbacher lied about his fictional girlfriend. That's where he's falling down there. Today's celebrity birthdays: Woody Allen is 79 years old today. Bette Midler, 69. Sarah Silverman turns 44. Emily Mortimer McKenzie from The Newsroom is 43. Brad Delson is 37 years old. Akiva Schaffer from Lonely Island, also 37. Vance Joy is 27. Janelle Monáe is 29. And Zoe Kravitz is 26 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show, we have J.B. Smoove on the program. He's going to be in top five. We also have a couple of more Miss Double December contestants. Make sure you go to kevinandbean.com to vote. And the pageant is this Friday. This Friday.
It's not going to rain on us, is it?
I believe it's not. I think Tuesday, tomorrow, it's supposed to rain a lot.
Uh-huh.
Wednesday, some.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the weekend, I think, is okay.
I don't trust it.
I think.
I don't like it.
And we've also got tickets for both nights of the 25th Annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas tomorrow morning.